The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I'm a singer who can't, but I'm a lover who can. I'm a lover who can. I'm a beggar who won't, but I'll take what I can. I'll take what I can.
I'm so in love with my life story at the moment. Not my, the band, not the actual. So pompous. That's sound. That's a real orchestra as well. That's a real orchestra. It's only a synth crap. It's a real orchestra. Jake Shillingford, My Life Story Band, you probably haven't heard of, going to be in the studio, I think it's next Tuesday, did we say? Did we say in the end? Next week anyway, coming in for the first hour. I'm thrilled, but listening to a lot of their stuff. And it is great stuff, man. Absolutely fantastic. You can get the albums for, like, quids. Get the albums for quids. Online, obviously. If you go to the online retailers, that's where the place to get them for quids. So that's cool. He's coming in. We've got Jim Bob from Carter coming in. That's it, I think. That's it for guests. Oh, here we go. Glenn's on the line. Let's get this party started. I'm coming up. And what that means is she's not going up the stairs. She's taking a tablet. So ignore that. I'm coming up the stairs. let's get the party started.
What kind of party's upstairs?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why she needed a tablet. Good evening, Glenn.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Kath. It's lovely to hear your voices this evening.
Thanks, Glenn.
Do you know what? He's right.
Yeah, it's true.
He's right. What can we... before we go any further...
And now you can't even play Conkers in England. Can we start a petition on a brush, please? Can we start an
argument
how
what?
Ridiculous it is that you can't play Conkers, and if you do, you've got to wear goggles. That is the biggest problem. Can't play Conkers in England.
I can live with it.
Yeah, and finally...
Aren't your balls normally held back by your willy?
Let's start the show, Glenn. Glenn.
Good evening. I'm not really sure exactly why I called. This will be 9 years this year. I've been listening to you in various places.
It's what? How long this year?
9 years this year.
Jeez, wowzers, man.
You must be tired and probably quite bored.
Get a life, dude. What's your problem, Glenn?
Speaking of which, I'm getting married tomorrow. And,
just to future Mrs. Glenn, he told us he was getting married as the answer to the question, what's your problem, Glenn?
Oh,
wowzers, man! The night before your wedding, I remember it well. Obviously, it was tonight. But the night before my wedding, I remember very well. Because you kind of feel a bit useless. You know,
yeah,
it's a bit
lonely.
Yeah, of course you do. You're not. You're doing the traditional thing. You're not seeing your missus until tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm on my own. And over the 9 years, whenever I felt lonely, I phoned you. And so it just seemed appropriate, you know.
Are you in a hotel?
No, I'm in my flat. She's in a nice hotel where I will be tomorrow.
Yes, so, mate, get in there.
Me and Red Dead Redemption 2 tonight.
Okay, well, play that. Watch a little porno. Watch a little cheeky bluey.
Go before you throw them all in the bin, as if people have hard copies anymore,
exactly.
So to speak.
Watch a little bluey. Do what you need to do so that you're ready for tomorrow. You know what I'm saying, Glennington.
Tomorrow, it probably won't happen.
Why? Okay, here's tonight's phone-in. And we were going to do the phone-in, should 97-year-olds be allowed to drive? And then I really realised the answer is, shouldn't actually be based on age, it should be based on skill. And, of course, your reflexes and your eyesight can degenerate the older you get. But being 97 doesn't necessarily mean that your reflexes and your speed and your timing isn't up to that which is required for safe driving. So the answer is, age is kind of irrelevant, although it's a small factor. It should actually be based on your abilities. So that phone-in's done. So tonight's phone-in is, did you have sex on your wedding night? Let's take a straw poll. My answer is yes. Catherine?
I think so.
Hey.
Is this a problem when you drink?
It's a problem when you... This is the thing.
Like, I'll be drunk this time tomorrow night. I don't anticipate I will have sex, so it just seems like a... Okay. It seems like I'm going to be knackered.
Yeah.
I'm a teacher, I'm already knackered.
0344-499-1000. Did you do it on your wedding night? Give us a call.
I'm glad I could have helped.
Give us a call, Cher. She's listening. Okay, so you're lonely. You're playing a bit of Red Dead Redemption, which is a very boring video game. You should be playing PUBG. So what? What are you showing off for? There are lonely people out there. You just called up to rub their noses in it?
No. I just called to hear your lovely voice.
How you feeling? On a serious note, how are you feeling? You nervous? You excited? You feeling nothing? Which is perfectly legitimate the night before a wedding?
There is a bit of numbness. I think I am excited. I'm a bit anxious, but people keep telling me just to savour every moment and appreciate it, but I don't really know how to do that. You know,
I can tell you how to do it. Genuinely, I can tell you how to do it. That's the only advice I've ever given to anyone about a wedding day is, you know, one minute you're getting up and you're doing your tie, and the next minute you're sat at the table going, my God, how did we get here? And then the next minute you're in the bedroom, and that's it. It goes like that. Wow. It goes like that. And so all you can really keep doing is just keep looking at your watch and just taking a note of the time and going, right, it's 9:25, and really trying to slow time down and just holding the hand of your partner and just keep going to, this is happening now. Just try and savour the moment, because it'll go.
Here's my advice. Try and find a moment where it's just you two at some point. It's really difficult.
That's almost impossible, isn't
it? And also, you've got to keep moving, right? Because everyone wants a piece of you. Everyone will want a piece of you. And if you get stuck talking to someone for more than 10 minutes, you're there for the rest of the night. There will be people you will not speak to.
Don't feel bad if you don't speak to anyone. Speak to people.
Because actually,
they don't care.
If you go to a wedding, do you expect to get a long conversation with the bride and groom? No, you're just
they
there to
care.
See it. You're
they
just there
care.
To see them. Right?
So if someone doesn't speak to me at a wedding, I don't care.
I
this
felt terribly guilty the day
yeah,
after don't, that
don't
I hadn't caught up with people.
Have you got an official photographer?
We do, yes.
Yeah, sack him off. No, it's a con. It's a con. It's honestly a con. What were you paying? £2,000, £1,500?
Oh, I don't know. Something or something.
Yeah,
I can't keep track of it anymore.
Yeah, no, it's a con. But no, okay. You've done it, and I've looked at my wedding photos once, and that was with tears and remorse when my wedding collapsed. But my marriage collapsed. Oh. But you'll get better photos from your friends. But here's another thing I would say, because I missed a load of the party because the photographer was dragging us around for lots of staged photos.
Oh, no,
and we said we don't want staged
yeah.
photos. Okay, but we're just going to take you to the other side of the hotel and we're just going to get... And I missed... Okay, here's the thing, right? I think we had a harpist, right?
Okay.
Never heard the harpist once. It was either harpist or a little quartet. I can't remember.
And they're not cheap.
No, it was pricey, and I did not hear a single note they played because the photographer dragged us off to the other side of the hotel complex.
We got hectored by the photographer as well. We'd agreed all kinds of things, and he just completely did his own thing on the day. Just try not to be herded.
Yeah, it's your day, man. Enjoy it. Tell you, just keep giggling and laughing with your. I'm assuming you're marrying your best friend, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it's all about. You're spending the day with your best friend, hold her hand, tell her you love her, laugh a lot at how ridiculous it is, admire how beautiful she looks and how smart you look. I don't know which parents are going to be there. I don't know your parents' situation, but just keep a little glimpse over there and watch little tears in the eyes of the mums and the dads. The pride in the eyes of the parents is always a great one. Savour every morsel of the food. Make it last as long as you can, because it will fly by.
And try not to worry about your speech, because you're the one whose side everyone's on.
Yeah, I'm the most nervous about that part.
Yeah, everyone is. Do you know what? And they're all on your side. You can't do wrong.
Don't matter. Just don't open with any Pakistani jokes. And that is speaking from experience. Trust me. That is speaking from experience. That was a tough gig, my wedding day. Congratulations, man. You're about to embark on, well, what I personally consider, out of my life experiences, the second most exciting adventure. The first most exciting adventure for me was having kids. But the wedding day is a thrill, and being newlyweds and being married is a gas, man. Enjoy it.
Great. Thank you so much, both, and I'll maybe call you down the line and let you know how it went.
Can't wait.
Yeah, definitely, man. You give us a call whenever and just let us know how it went. And tomorrow at some point, I will forget about this, Glenn, and then tomorrow at some point I'll be with my kids. I'll go, that fella from last night is probably doing this now, and I will raise an imaginary glass to you tomorrow, Glenn.
Me too.
Great. Thank you very much, and have a great evening, folks.
Cheers, mate. Touch
lots
you
of love,
touch
Glenn.
You there we go. That's fun, isn't it? The night before your marriage. The night before you get married.
I didn't sleep. We had... I was staying at my mum and dad's, and we had friends over from Spain, so everyone came over to my mum and dad's house, and we had all the family up from Manchester, and we all sat in the garden.
Are you from Manchester?
Yeah.
You don't mention it much.
And we all sat in the garden. It was a summer... It was the hot summer of 2006.
Yeah.
And... Then when everyone finally went, I went up to my old bedroom and I was in there and I lay awake for most of the night because I just couldn't believe it was all happening.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy, crazy times.
Nuts, isn't it?
It's nuts. 03, here we go. Start to the show. We started the show with Glenn. What a great call. Beat that. It'd be hard to. But it doesn't mean you can't try. If you don't try, you might not like it. So try it. Have a go. Try and experience new flavours, new sensations. That's all we're saying. By the way, today is a great day because we have a brand new issue of Chat It's Fate. Yes,
we do.
0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
0344-499-1000. We've got a couple of Saturdays that we're doing, locked in the diary. But one is in February and one is in March. Because we had to take the two nights off of Brexit... because I want to get paid, so we're doing a couple of Saturdays. The dream is to do Saturdays, but me and Kath alternate them. So I do one like a solo mission, and then Kath does one. You know what alternate means, guys. Yeah, you got that. That's the plan, and that's what we're talking to our boss about. But the talk seems to have kind of come to nothing, and money and stuff. But that would be nice. That would be handy financially, and it would be great artistically. Be nice to do. I'd like to listen to your show, Catherine.
I'd like to listen to yours.
Yeah, no.
Without having to roll my eyes and stuff.
You'd still be rolling your eyes. But I know I would. I'd love to listen to you do a show. This is what we're aiming for. This is the plan, guys. So yeah, 03444991000 is the telephone number. Here's the thing. I couldn't give a stuff about Prince Philip. Generally. Certainly, so the story is, old man is okay. Old man is okay. That's the story. Old man is okay. And it's like, I mean, everyone's done the phone in. Well, should 97-year-old people be allowed to drive? No, of course they shouldn't. As I've said before, and I'm not saying this to be controversial. You know I mean it, Catherine. 67 and over, you should have your licences taken off you. It just seems obvious to me. At the age of 67, thanks very much. You've had a great time. Here's a bus pass. We'll have your car keys. Thanks a lot.
So you're thinking bus pass for car keys?
Yeah, totally. You 67, you just, your reflexes. Here, right, I'm going to be 46 this year. My reflexes this year compared to when I was 20, compared to last year, are infinitely slower. Look, I'm going to try and grab that pen, okay? Time me how long it takes to grab that pen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
6 seconds. Six. A year ago, I did that in 4 seconds, and we know we've got it on video somewhere. When I was 20, I did it in a second.
Oh, no, I think you were probably slower in your 20s.
Shut up, man. Oh, token. Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. No, I did it better. No, but at 67, you should lose your license. That seems obvious to me. It's a fact, right? But the story is, old man is okay. That's the story. When he got out, did he climb out? But by the way, if you've
they
not seen. So what, the police pulled off Prince Philip?
No, I think a passerby pulled him out.
You've got to say pulled him off, otherwise the joke doesn't work.
Why?
Catherine. It doesn't sound... Because no one...
You make it sound like they were, like, interfering with him, and that's...
That's the joke! That they masturbated Prince Philip!
Gosh, but that's a hero.
Oh, he was great in the war, commanded a ship.
No, I meant the person who pulled him out.
It doesn't work when you do that. But you know, the story should be... By the way, if you've not seen the Daily Mail's cartoon representation of what happened, man, go and look at the picture of Prince Philip after the crash. There's a drawing of Prince Philip, and he's basically got, as you said, the Eric Morecambe glasses to his side.
You know, like when Eric Morecambe had been in a compromising situation,
a
and
picture,
he would show it through the medium of wonky glasses.
It's a funny picture. But the story, surely the story is, from what I've heard, the King of England's incompetence puts the life of a baby at risk. Because that's the story. It was his fault, right? And there was a 9-month-old baby in the car. Luckily, was uninjured. But both the passengers, I don't know if they were the parents, both the passengers, I think it was two women. You can tell how much research I've done for this. Both the passengers were injured. One broke a wrist, I think, and one may have broken a rib.
Gosh.
So that means it was they hit a Land Rover and knocked it onto its side. So surely the story is not, old man is fine. The story should be, the King of England puts the life of a baby at risk. That's the story, isn't it? Incompetent king almost kills baby. I'm being significantly sensationalist, of course, but that's the story, isn't it? Poor Prince Philip.
The other thing I'm reading is that that's an accident black spot on that particular stretch of road. So obviously, what's going on there?
Well, and also, here's the thing. They've now lowered the speed limit there.
Oh, have they?
As of today.
Interesting.
From 60 to 50 because of Prince Philip. I mean,
60 to 50 isn't enough.
All right. Listen,
is it?
I don't know. I don't know the area.
If you want to make
there.
A difference.
But I just, honestly, I couldn't. Now I'm talking about it on my radio show, our radio show. I couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. Here's my thing, though, and I don't say this isn't me. I'm not saying this to be macabre or shocking. Okay, shock jockery is gone. That would be a huge shock for a 97-year-old man.
Traumatic.
Yeah, in a Land Rover, and they must have, you know, it must have been some wallop to knock a Land Rover on its side.
They pulled him out through the sunroof.
Right. Okay. Again, you ruined the joke. People can die from shock. People can die. People a lot younger than that. A lot less racist than that, can die from shock. And I just wonder, you know, I just wonder, you know, what the after effects might be. Also wonder if it's karma for Diana. But just don't, you know...
Whoa.
You know, that, well, that family has not been lucky when it comes to car accidents. That's what I'm saying. Mm. That family has not been lucky when it comes to car accidents. And yet he seemed to, you know, he seemed to be okay as a result of it. And I just wonder, well, the serious point is that that family does seem to have a lot of bad luck with car accidents. And will there be some after effects for a 97-year-old man?
Well, it would appear it means new car for him. I saw in the Sun today. Day after. He's not even going to take it to Quick Fit, see if they can, or Chips Away to see if they can bang the sides out. I know, it's incredible, isn't it? Maybe insurance came through straight away.
Well, my insurance, that's like 3 months.
Yeah. I mean, in anyone else's household, it would be, we need to talk to Grandad about his car keys now.
Yeah.
Instead, just buy him another one, it'd be fine.
Speaking of Grandads and car keys, let's go to George.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. How are you both this evening?
This evening, I'm all right. I'm glad it's the weekend. I've got the kids this weekend. We've got a birthday party Sunday.
Lovely.
I'm fine. I'm good. I'm in good health. My house is decorated. Nigel has finished decorating, and I get to dust and clean the rooms tomorrow and then put everything back and settle into my house, spend some time with my cats, have some great food. We're going to go for some sushi tomorrow night because it's my youngest favourite food and it's his birthday. So I'm great. How are you, Catherine?
I had a chicken burger for tea.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's the end of my story.
How are you, George? That's the question.
I'm quite buzzing, but I think
the drought over.
I think 66 is better than 67. I just like the sound of 66.
Yeah,
and it shouldn't be you lose your license. Yes. You should have another test at that age.
No, just take it away. You say, it's not worth. No life is worth the risk.
No, it's. There's no such thing as an accident anyway. Everything is fated.
Well, if we have less people... By the way, here's my prediction. In 30 years, driving's going to be banned. But if you take away the number of drivers on the road, and if you particularly take away the number that are elderly, and 67 is elderly, with lower... Their synapses don't work as well, then you're going to save lives. It's obvious.
Your predictions haven't been very good this year.
Name one prediction I made.
You made a prediction...
This year?
Yes, not this year, last year.
You said this year?
Yeah, but your prediction was for last year, and it went down.
Well, what was it?
It was about Harry's wife's father. He was going to be dead by Christmas, you said.
Who? Harry's wife's...
Prince Harry's wife's father.
Yeah, he's dead. He's dead.
He's dead.
Oh, yeah, oh, God, yeah. You don't know about it because they don't want you to know about it.
Very funny.
He died.
Very funny.
I love the way you just run along with an idea and don't shut it down. It makes it so much fun to do these improvisational little bits.
But did you say you were going to be talking about fate?
We got a magazine called Chat It's Fate. Which, Catherine, could you sum up this? My Christmas present to Catherine was a year's subscription. It may have been 6 months, actually, to Chat It's Fate.
Yeah, it's 62 pages of bullshine.
You'd love it, George.
Sorry?
You'd probably like it.
I would like it. Why?
Oh, jeez. I don't know, man. I'm just trying to spark a spontaneous conversation. Stop shutting me down! What would you like to say?
I would like to tell you why I'm buzzing. I sent you an email. I think I sent you two emails.
Unfortunately, Catherine, I only signed up for 6 months.
What?
Sorry. Otherwise, it was 20 quid. This was £9.49.
But cool idea, because my birthday's in August. You can sign me up for another 6 months.
This was about another talkback radio program.
Oh, you were going to phone up? You sent me an email telling me you were going to phone up another radio program.
Good to know.
No, it's talkback on...
Talkback.
On BBC Radio Ulster.
Yeah.
And last night I tried to get on that.
Yeah, I know. You sent me an email saying you were going to try and get on another radio station.
No, I was...
That's what you did. That's what the email was.
No, the email was the email that I sent to the presenter of the Talkback programme on BBC Radio Ulster.
Okay.
Which I tried to get on Tuesday... Wednesday and Thursday. And they didn't let me on.
Here's what you need to do. You need to phone up with a different accent and a different name and from a different number, because they've got your number stored and they've got a big sign by it saying don't put this...
I've got quite a history with BBC Radio.
I think that's why they're not letting you on.
Yeah, but I'm saying, in the old days when they had decent presenters on the station, I was a guest on the station about 10 times.
Here's a top tip.
Yeah?
If you want to get on there, don't slag the presenters off.
I wasn't slagging the presenter off at all.
Well, by saying when they had decent presenters, you kind of, I would infer from that that you meant that they don't anymore.
Well, on this particular programme, the presenter's a guy called William Crawley, ex-priest. I think he's been presenting there for some years now. And
William Crawley, ex-priest. How can I help you, ma'am?
Anyway, I sent him this email that I sent you a copy of.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm so chuffed that I didn't get on being able to ask the question, why wasn't Rainbow George allowed to speak on the Talk Back programme, I think is going to get infinitely more coverage than I would have got if I had spoken.
So I give my last dime for coverage. That's a great song. We might play that later. David Crosby. I give my last dime for coverage.
What
but
did you
think
will of the email?
George, you know not everyone gets on radio shows that rings up, don't you?
No.
Yeah, not
true. They choose.
Listen, I've been calling radio stations for 35 years now. Don't tell me about radio stations.
Okay. I've been producing radio shows for 18 years,
well,
and I know when we fob people off.
Sorry?
I said, and I know when we fob people off. I also know how to get on the wrong side of a producer, and you're doing it.
I'm doing it. Well, again, a question for you. Like the other night
Go on then.
I was looking to give away a song lyric to Narina, it was as though I'm trying to make a gift and you're trying to make out that I'm looking for something. I just don't understand your response at all, Kath.
My response?
Yes, your response.
Okay, well, you're getting quite angry. I think you need to just chill out a bit. My response is this. Whenever you ring us up, you have expectations that somehow you're going to get news coverage through your conversations with us, and you seem disappointed that you don't, and you kind of take it out on us. There you go.
No, that's not true at all. Where was I trying to get news coverage?
And you were phoning Radio Ulster?
I was trying to give away...
You said coverage.
Sorry?
So you were talking just then about trying to get coverage through phoning Radio Ulster.
To talk... In Northern Ireland, I've been involved on the fringe of the political arena there. I've made history in Northern Ireland in elections. And you think I would be allowed to speak on a lunchtime phone-in programme?
No one's entitled or assured of that.
I'm not talking about entitled and assured, but you would think if I bothered to...
You would think.
Well, I think anyone with any sense would think.
Well, I disagree.
Yeah, well, you haven't got any sense then, have you?
Well, that's a bit rude.
No, well, I made my...
Ad hominem attacks.
Sorry?
Ad hominem attacks.
Can I just interrupt for a second? I wish I were at home listening to this, because this is the best bit of radio I've heard in years. And continue.
This could be Rainbow George's last call to this show.
Yeah, well, let's go back in history a bit. How did I get on your show in the first place?
You rang us up.
No, I didn't. Ian rang me up and I didn't even know I was speaking on the radio. And that was the beginning of our relationship, was it not, Ian? On this station.
Yes?
Yes. So you invited me onto your programme. You made me a caller. You then were interested enough to say that you wanted to make some podcasts with me and you've gone off that whole idea. But
maybe it's the attitude.
Yeah, what happened when we came to record with you, George, if you want to go there?
Oh, you go. This is so uncomfortable.
What do you mean what happened when you...
You were dissatisfied with what we did.
Oh, dear.
How was I dissatisfied?
You told us that you were disappointed. You used those words.
I want money.
Disappointed with myself, not with you. Just thought that I could have done better. Wasn't disappointed with you.
And then when we came to your event, how did you feel about that?
I was really happy to see you there.
But then you were disappointed with the event?
With the event itself, yes. The event wasn't what I'd hoped it would be. I get... do you know the Book of Heroic Failures? Do you know that book?
I'm guessing what it might be about.
Do you know it, Ian?
No.
No?
No.
It was written by, I can't even remember who wrote it now. Can you not look it up? Book of Heroic Failures. It was a friend of Peter Cook's.
I can't unfurl my fingers because I'm so uncomfortable.
Are you? No, it was a friend of Peter Cook's. It was a very, very good selling book. And Peter said to him, you should write a whole book about Rainbow Georgia and heroic failures. But today I think it's my biggest win, my biggest success was being rejected from speaking on talk radio in Northern Ireland. I just feel it was the greatest rejection I've ever had. And that's why I'm feeling buzzy. But anyway... I did ask you to return tapes you took from me to do something with it, that you're not going to do anything with, and I would like to do something with those tapes. So can you possibly get them back to me, Ian?
Like I said, George, my house has just been decorated. Everything is in boxes in the garage. I will try and find them at some point towards the end of next week.
Thank you. I appreciate
it.
Here's the thing, right?
I'm allowing myself to feel uncomfortable on my own radio show. So let's just stop this, because now my face is blushing. I think you've been disrespectful to my producer and to my best friend. And I guess here's the thing. The reason you don't get on other radio shows is the twofold, I would suggest. One, because you speak the same old bollocks about World of Wonders. And once you've heard it once, that's fine. But then to keep going on about it, that a lot of other radio shows will go, we don't want to hear that again.
You're supposed to be the alternative.
Yeah, exactly. There's no alternative to you keep doing the same old spiel every single time. And the second point is your attitude, man. Come on. We have bent over backwards to try and accommodate you. The reason we didn't do the podcast, because of your attitude, man. Why should we put all of this work in for someone who kind of looks down their nose at us, and when we don't do something the way he wants, gets arsy? What was wrong with what happened with Narina the other day? What was wrong? You came on to my show, mine and Catherine's show.
You kept me waiting for nearly an hour. Tough luck.
Who cares? Who cares? Some people wait an hour and a half. Some people wait 2 hours. Who cares how long you waited?
I'm just saying
Tough. My show, I'm in charge of when the callers go on, and I will put them on when I think it is best for the show.
Okay,
I wasn't gonna have Narina come in, a guest, one of my favourite artists, and bang, first 5 minutes, introduce her to you. I wasn't going to do that.
She would have liked you.
No, you don't know that.
Yes, I do.
How dare you tell me how to do my show? I will put callers in when I want to put callers in. I did not want to put you in for the first hour. You didn't like it? You could have put the phone down.
No, I don't put the phone down.
Well, then don't ever go at me when you didn't go on for an hour.
I'm
telling you how it is. Okay, what else was wrong?
I'm saying when I came on.
Yes.
Then I'm.
You entered my arena. You entered my theatre, and you play by my rules. Yeah, go on. And
I came on, and I enjoyed listening to your conversation with her.
It was a great conversation.
And it came across that she was quite political. And you didn't want her to talk politics, but I would have liked.
No, that's bollocks. That's bollocks. I asked her if she wanted to talk about Brexit. I asked her, and she said no, thanks. I will not, George. This is what you do, man. This is the arrogance. This is the entitlement.
I'm not arrogant. Don't call me arrogant.
You're arrogant. Yeah, you're arrogant. You got upset because you had to wait an hour to come on. I tell you what, you phone up BBC London, see how long it takes you to get on there. It'll be years.
No, it isn't. I called them.
Phone up LBC now. Go on, get on Nick Abbott.
LBC banned me about
exactly,
10 years
and
ago.
You've got to wonder why. Here's the thing.
I do still wonder why.
I've just told you why. I have just told
you, don't
you why.
Know why.
I've just told you. I do know why because I
do
know.
You do not know.
Well, here's
why.
The thing, George. I do because I work there and I spoke to people. I know why a lot of people were banned. I know why. I know exactly why. Here's the thing. I asked Narina, do you want to talk about Brexit? She went, oh, no, thanks. I'm not going to play back the tape because I was there. I lived it. I lived it and I listened.
Yeah, but I wanted to give her a present.
You gave her the lyrics. You gave her some crappy lyrics to a song. She's one of the best songwriters in the world.
Great lyrics.
They're nonsense, man.
And I'm rewriting them anyway.
Good. Well, don't phone up my next pop stars and offer them.
Why not?
Because
I was trying to give someone something.
All right, well, you gave them to her. Let's see if they pop up on a new album.
And then what did Cass say immediately? That I was trying to get something for myself.
No. I'll tell you what Cass said. Cass said, you're always looking for someone to finish your work. And that's what you do, man. You phone up with half-finished songs that you want the listeners to complete. You phone up with songs that you want the listeners to play in. But you phone up with...
Their lyrics,
George, I can't be bothered, man. I can't be bothered.
What do you mean you can't be bothered?
What I mean is...
They're lyrics that I circulate, and I hope that different people tune into those lyrics.
You're a caller, not a guest.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
The Talk Radio listeners page, Josh Ibrahim is saying, what happened? I will listen again, but currently I'm at my nan's.
Wish I was at your nan's.
Oh, man alive. Honestly, you talking to George, when I sat back, I was so tense. Everything was scrunched up. That was the most uncomfortable bit of radio I've ever heard. And I was sat in the studio while it was going on.
Do you know what? I'm quite a mild-mannered sort of person, but if someone comes for me, then they better be ready for me to come back.
look forward to your next call, George. 0344 499 1000. Good evening, Gatford.
Thanks for having me on as a guest.
Keep you waiting 50 minutes. Listen, so you've waited a long time, and I don't know, if you wait a long time, and sometimes you think, I can't be bothered, you put the phone down. Sometimes you think, no, I'll stick around. Sometimes you get on in 2 minutes. That's just the way it goes. Here's the thing. I have the callers racked up, and I will use them like colours in a painting I am painting, and I will... Sometimes I do them in the order they...
Grey, yeah?
Well, yeah, you're a grey, but sometimes I do them in the order
grey's
they came.
Grey's useful sometimes.
Sometimes I do them in the order they came, but when we've got guests in like they're in, I'm not just going to throw George and Nigel straight at her. Here's the thing. When you've got a guest in the studio, right, you've just got to totally test the vibe. You've got to test... I don't know Norina very well. I've met her once before, and we had a lovely chat, but... You've got to test the vibe and get a sense of, are they up for talking to callers? Are they up for talking to some of the more out there callers? Or do they just want straight questions? Or do they not want, you know, would the spontaneity of callers frighten them? And it can. With musicians and actors, you know, who aren't hosts or comedians, a spontaneous call that suddenly comes at them from 90 degrees can completely throw them off. So you've got to judge the vibe.
And the first priority is to make it good for the listener.
Yeah. What Ian said to Kath is absolutely right. It's your show. You decide what goes on.
Yes.
The pair of you.
Yes.
We listen, we call in, we get on, we don't get on, whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, here's the thing, George, it's all scripted. You know, he knows that his theory is that the universe is scripted,
course,
yeah. So we were just playing our part.
What page are we on now?
I don't know, but if we're not on the same page, then we could lose. This page could be integral to the plot.
I feel like someone dropped the ring binder quite a long time ago and the pages are all over the shop.
Oh, don't you just take that.
You're such a twat.
Outrageous.
Just in case you missed it.
Catherine, you're such a twat.
And you're going to bed early, young man.
Is that one of yours?
That's my youngest mate, yeah. Yeah, very proud. Very, very proud of him.
The apple has not fallen far from that tree, has it?
Language, Timothy.
In it, though.
So, Gatford, what can we do for thee?
Well, I thought I'd just...
You're just trying to stick your tongue up our bums, is that it?
I enjoyed it,
no.
Thank you.
Trevor's just tweeted, more Rainbow George, please, but keep him waiting ages first to agitate him a little.
Go to him, give him 30 seconds, then cut him off.
Yeah.
I thought I'd just check in and let you know that I'm trying something different this year.
Is it to try and retain your big toes?
No. Well, yes.
Okay.
The foot thing is okay. There was a problem over Christmas, but that's okay now.
Okay.
But I'm trying to lose some weight.
Here we go. Me too. And you and me both, brother. And I've done terribly. Yeah. I stopped off at the Mackie D's again last night. I wasn't going to tell you. Here we go. Listen to this is the shame, and I'm feeling a bit of shame coming up here. I can feel it rising. I feel a shame attack coming on. I stopped off at Mackie D's on the way home, Kath, and I didn't tell you. And I had two burgers again and fries, and I didn't tell you. Isn't that terrible? And I thought, I won't tell her. I can get away with it. Isn't that terrible?
You don't need to.
No, I know. And that's how I feel.
I went
shame.
Home and I had two chocolate bars.
Did you?
Yeah.
You weren't going to tell me.
I'm not ashamed of it.
Go on, Gats.
I had two rolls, sausage rolls this morning at Greg's.
But, well, this is the thing. And now I'm feeling shame for not telling you that I had two McDonald's last night. But there's no reason.
No.
Which shows that there's something going extra going on in their head. There's something, I've put on a lot of weight. I saw myself in the mirror today, Gaffers. Give my boys a bath. And there was a mirror there, and I lifted up my shirt, and I went, oh, man, that is not...
Keys don't have mirrors.
Keys don't have mirrors. But I lifted up my shirt, and my boys giggled a bit, and I just... And they weren't, you know, they're laughing, because they're laughing. And I just thought, not because of them laughing, I just thought, nah, this has got to change, man. But I don't know how. I've tried the cycling, I've tried the exercise, I've tried the...
Well, I think it's got more to do with eating.
Yeah.
That's the theory that I'm going for at the moment. Yeah. I can't do an awful lot of exercise because of the feet, so I have to go with a calorie-controlled diet.
Yeah.
Try and measure it out using a very good app and do all those things. And, yeah, occasionally I slip and, you know, and then you say the shame takes over. But the important thing is don't give up. Don't let it beat you. Just keep going, you know, and it's about... I've done well with fad diets. I've always been better when it's slow and slightly annoying and only a few pounds a week, and then, you know, it works eventually.
Yeah.
So...
Okay.
I just thought I'd ring up and say that I was doing all right in 2019
Well, good for you, brother. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it. And, well, let's all try and live a little bit longer. That's all we've got to do is just try and live... A little bit longer.
My friends, it's about progress, not perfection, right? Those two burgers last night, okay, it's done.
They were great burgers.
Next week.
One wasn't a burger. One was McDonald's do this thing, which I've never had before.
Go.
And it was a spice. It was a spicy chicken wrap.
Ooh.
And I thought, well, that'd be healthy. But then I got a chicken burger as well. Yeah. And then I got large fries. But the spicy chicken wrap, and I didn't get water because I thought I had my water bottle and I didn't. It was so bloody hot. It was hot. I had numb tongue. I had numb lips. Numb lips. I've not had numb lips since the early 2000s. It was insane.
I don't much like the McDonald's burgers. I'm sure they're lovely for most people.
It's great.
Because I know they're quite litigious. But their breakfast.
Yes, mate.
Oh, it's a weakness.
Do you know what I bought the other day? For no reason, apart from the fact that it replicates a McDonald's breakfast, which I'm not allowing myself to have. I bought, like, an egg ring. Have you heard of them? Like a plastic wibbly sort of rubber ring that you put in your pan so you can make round eggs and put them in a muffin.
Fried egg for muffin.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
So I did that.
All right, Gatford. Listen, hang in there, brother. You got this. You can lose some weight. I'm going to lose some weight. We're going to lose some weight. We're going to donate that weight to charity for people who need to put on weight. That's what we're going to do. Hello, Tina.
Hey, Ian.
Hey, Tina.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Tina, how you doing? Hey, Tina, have you seen her? Have you seen her, Tina? Hey, where's Tina? Have you seen Tina? Have you seen her, Tina?
I was just ringing in to talk about weddings.
Hey, Tina, have you seen her? I need a cleaner. Yes, man. Rhymes. Sorry, go on. You've weddings.
She is a cleaner.
Oh, I'm looking for a cleaner.
Tina the cleaner.
Not local.
Well, no, I am. I'm very local. I live right near my house.
That farm?
At the farm, thank you for reminding me. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, the farm. Live at the farm. I forgot about it for the last 3 months. My cattle might be dead. better check them when I get home. I forgot all about them. Ah, well. Say la vie. Say la vie. Go on, say it.
La vie.
There we go. Tina, weddings. You got married, did you?
Oh, yeah, a long time ago.
Did it last?
To save money, my local dustman took my photos.
I'd ask for them back immediately.
They were rubbish.
Is that a joke? Have you done a joke?
Did I do a joke?
He took photos and they were rubbish? The dustman?
Oh, I mean, excellent.
This is great material.
No joke.
why did you get your dustman to take photos?
Couldn't afford a photographer. No. He said he was a amateur photographer.
Oh, you know what that means? Blueies. It is.
Excellent use of the word bluey.
Me and Cassius high-fived each other and missed.
Go. Go again.
Go.
Do you know what I did so he didn't miss? I didn't move my hand.
Let me just move that
one.
So you took some nude photos for your husband with the bin man. Did he have a wash? Did he have a wash?
Of course, they've always got a funny smell about them, haven't they?
It's ingrained. It's ingrained into their genes.
Yeah, it is in their jeans.
and in their pants and their socks.
All right, okay, yeah, we get it.
And their genitals.
Too far. Never sniffed a dustman's genitals.
Imagine. I'm sure they.
To my knowledge.
I'm sure they have great. They know what they do. I'm sure they're great in the sack. But imagine making love to a dustman in the back of his truck.
It would be really good.
Ooh.
Well, no, you shouldn't. No, here's the thing. You should never make love to a dustman. Do you know why? Because you don't know where they've been.
Oh, yeah, baby. Yes. Yes, that's right.
Also, they leave bits all over the road, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, if their sack bursts, they just leave a trail along the road.
You dirty old man.
You dirty old man.
Oh, God. Oh, well.
So, anyway, your binman the binman took your photos and they weren't very good.
No, they weren't very good. They were very poor, actually.
How long ago was this? Was this in the age of digital cameras or film cameras?
29 years ago.
Oh, flipping it. All right, fine, yeah. Here's the thing, right? Anyone can take a decent photo now. Anyway, we were so lucky that my brother-in-law came to the wedding because he's a...
He kind of had to.
Well, we didn't want to invite him. No, Matthew came, and he's a great photographer. His photographs... You know, we didn't say to him, could you take, you know, backup photos? He just enjoys taking photos. Not his job, he just enjoyed it. And he's got a decent camera. His photos were better than the official photographs. Because you got the joy of the party, the vibe.
The official lineup photos we had, disappointing. We had some really nice candid black and white ones, beautiful. And actually better were the ones that we got. We put those little... This was back in the day before everyone had digital cameras again. But we had those little disposable cameras on the tables. We got some good pictures. Got a lot of crap pictures on it, but we got some really nice ones as well. Yeah.
Well, I think with the iPhones now, nobody can take a bad photo.
Nah, you're right.
No, mate, exactly.
Whack a filter on it as well. Everyone's gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
Thank you, Tina. Are you still married, Tina?
Yeah.
How's it going? Is it...
That voice.
Yeah, I'm single.
It's all right. We've just booked a holiday today to Sri Lanka, so...
To do what?
We're going off to Sri Lanka.
Oh, Sri Lanka. Oh, yes. Oh, I love a bit of Sri Lanka. I love Sri Lanka. Of course I've been. Otherwise, I wouldn't be saying I love it, you prune. Yeah, have you been, Catherine?
No.
It's nice. Although we got ripped off on our first day and nearly murdered by a bloke who said... a bloke on the beach said, come with us, come with me, and I'll take you on a boat ride to see a baby elephant.
Oh, that's the Sri Lankan version of come and see my puppies.
And we were like, yeah, right. And we said, well, where is it? He went, it's just over there. And so we followed it for like 25 minutes, and we ended up walking through these woods.
Oh, giddy.
And then we got on this crappy little boat, and we sort of went around, and there was sort of a baby elephant somewhere. And it was like about £5,000. And we went, no. And he got a little bit hairy because we gave him a few quid, but not anywhere near what he wanted. And I was with my girlfriend at the time, and I just said, right, just walk away. We're going to walk back to where people are. Just don't look at him. Ignore him shouting at us and waving his fists. We're going to walk back to where people are. First day.
Hey,
Tina, have you got a picture? Have you got a picture of your house taken from above?
No, that's just sad, isn't it? Why would you want that anyway? Why did you spend £25 on that?
Wow.
Because someone asked him to.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't expect to get berated on my own show twice.
You got burnt.
It's a very foolish thing to do.
Right, OK, thanks for your call, Tina. I hope your marriage fails. Hope you have a crap time in Sri Lanka. Hope you get ripped off by the baby elephant boatman. What rude woman. Outrageous.
If you'd like to give us a ring, 0344-499-1000. Just don't mention that photo.
James, stay there. You're going to be next. And then we've got Scott. And I like it when the show's like this, when they go from really uncomfortable and tense to actually very, very funny. So we'll have James, then we'll have Scott after the news. You can call in as well, 0344-499-1000. Who cares about the story about Prince Philip? Entitlement, wedding photos, did you have sex on your wedding night? Loads of other stuff. And then we've got Chat It's Fate.
Yeah, death messengers brought me back to life.
That's Kath's story. What's yours? This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Painted in a painted corner, the greatest on the earth.
Things up a little bit. I'm going to restart my computer. I would have made such a good on the fringe pop star in the mid to late 90s. Like My Life Story, like Divine Comedy, just on the fringes, I would have been such a wicked pop star. Such a wicked pop star, honestly. Because I was slim, I was good looking, I had doughy eyes. I could write a song.
Not doughy, dough eyes.
Doughy eyes.
With doughy... Okay, yeah, fine.
Oh, I blow my kids' minds, right?
Yeah.
Because I've invented this character. Talks like this. So, yeah, so here's the thing. I'm a songwriter, boys. And I can write a song about absolutely anything you like, and I can just write it just now. And they go, all right, we'll do a song about poo.
Of course they do.
Whoa, yeah, I was needing a poo, but I sat on the toilet and nothing came out. So I pushed real hard and I pushed again, but nothing came out of me, my friend. Just made that up just then.
Here's the thing.
Yes, Catherine.
You do the voice for him.
Yes.
But when you're singing
yes.
and composing, it's all you.
Yeah, but so the boys think I'm a genius. They go, wow, did you actually write that? I said, yeah. They said, when? I said, just made it up. Just made it up in the car just now, just the words coming out, just making it up. So I would have been an excellent pop star.
Well, for all toilet-based songs,
not
yeah.
like a Robbie pop star, but like on the fringes. Cool pop star, like My Life Story, like Divine Comedy, like those guys. I'd have been great. That's all I'm saying. I would have been great. 0-3-4-5, could have been a contender, guys. Could have been a contender.
Lucky for them you weren't.
I don't think I've ever seen a film starring Marlon Brando. Yes, I have. I've seen the Godfather movies. Godfather movies to one side.
Have you not seen Streetcar?
No.
Oh.
No. No, I don't watch old films.
Oh no.
No,
too,
exactly.
Too black and white for you.
Yeah. I don't see things in black and white. No, literally I can't. There's something wrong with my eyes. See, even Sam's laughing at that and he's a miserable git.
Sight loss joke.
There's no sight. No.
It
no,
is a bit, mate.
No, it's
a bit,
not. It's not because no one is black and white blind.
Some people are.
No, some people.
There'll be someone.
No, there won't
yeah,
be.
Will.
Someone's color. People are color blind, but even then, it's not quite what you think. They just can't see tones of green. Get over yourselves. No one's black and white blind. Okay, that's not a thing. It's not a thing. So I've not made fun of anybody. And do you know what? If you are black and white blind, get lost. Who cares about you? Who cares about you? Okay, you've got no one. Got no one. You deserve not to be able to see black and white. Let's go to James. Good evening, James.
Hello, Ian. How are you?
That's none of your business.
Okay. Black and white films. One black and white film you must watch. I know you don't watch them, but maybe Catherine wants to watch it, is Don't Bother to Knock.
Talk to me, big boy. Tell me about it. Tell me about this Don't Bother to Knock film.
With Marilyn Monroe. It's a really good, you know, she's a babysitter.
Oh.
She plays it. It's a really dark film. She's this mentally disturbed.
Hang on, why are Catherine shaking her head in disbelief at this? She went. She sort of pulled the face and went, this guy's talking out of his a-hole.
No.
That's disrespectful to my callers.
Not at all.
I'd like you to apologise to James.
Nope.
Apologise to him.
Nope.
Apologise to James.
Nope.
Right, hang on a minute, James. We're just going to go off air for a second. You won't hear us for a second. You apologise to James because you were out of order. He has found out and recommended a film. You pulled that face that was like, this guy's talking up his
ass. We're on the radio. I can do whatever I want with my face.
You will apologise to that caller now. Right. Otherwise, you'll be serious trouble. And we're back on the air. Sorry about it. We had to go off for a second, James. Catherine's got something she'd like to say.
I'm really sorry my colleague's a dick.
I mean, it's good that you can say dick on your show because it's liberating. But no, you should watch that film. Firstly, that's my first point.
Okay, mate.
Noted. I like Marilyn Monroe as well.
And you like dick.
But, no, Catherine, why are you not impressed by the film? Is it because you?
No, I wasn't. It wasn't that at all. I was looking it up. I was just in a concentration.
Let's get some of Catherine's wisdom.
Aren't your balls normally held back by your willy?
There we go.
So that's the first thing I wanted to say.
Thank you, James. I appreciate that a lot, mate. I really do.
Oh, thank you.
Next point, please.
The next point was, George.
Not George. Big George, unfortunately. I would love to say that next week we've got Big George coming in the studio, but as we all know, he passed away and I never got to meet the guy. Yeah, you worked with him, didn't you?
Yeah.
Love to have met the fella, but never did, unfortunately.
He was such a nice guy, and sometimes I'd flick through the radio and you'd hear some of the people on the airwaves and you think, oh, he's gone. I called him many times.
Did you speak to him? You got to speak to him?
Oh, yeah, quite.
I used to listen to him a bit, not regularly, but I used to listen to him, and you just knew you were getting... Here's the thing you were getting with Big George, from what little I heard. You were getting the bloke that you were listening to.
Yeah.
You were getting the bloke that was talking to you was exactly the bloke that existed. You were getting him. You could hear it.
Yeah, and here's the thing that he did that none of the other presenters at that radio station at the time did.
He wrote the theme tune to Have I Got News For You. Is that what you're going to say?
Here's the other thing that he did.
Yes.
His style was, he sounded like he was just having a conversation, he was just riffing, but he would weave the items, because we had to do, like, at least four interviews in an hour. But you never felt like he was taking a run-up, you know? With some of the others, you could tell, you know, they'd give you a time check, then it'd be, and straight into this. I'm reading you this thing because I'm about to interview someone who's already on the phone line. Whereas George would give you this flight of fancy, and then all of a sudden you're in an interview.
And he was so nice and so knowledgeable about music, and true Londoner, and he grew up on the a few doors down from some of the Richardson's Hyde Muscle in the dark side.
We got to the dark side.
He was great.
Back in the day. You were his producer, Kat. Yeah,
briefly. Yeah.
Were you? Oh, yeah. I probably knew that. I'd forgotten that.
I didn't realise how lucky I was at the time.
Yeah. You get to produce. That's at least two real talents.
Yeah, him and Ronnie Barber.
Ronnie Barber, Ian, you meant him and you.
Oh, did you? How funny.
Yeah.
Actually, I meant him and Roberto Peroni.
Oh, no, we all liked a bit of Roberto. She was great. But no, the point is this. We're all sort of failed and aspiring, you know, comedians and
humans.
Comedians,
we're all failed humans. That's what we are. We're all failed and aspiring humans.
And the thing is, with, you know, some... I don't want to flag off Rainbow George. That's not my thingy. But look, I got up a picture that I took in Croydon. I won't name the shop because James O'Brien doesn't like you naming businesses.
But he doesn't work here.
I don't mind you naming business. Name a shop. I'm not going to say it was run by pedophiles, which is the American for paedophiles.
No, I'm just... Right.
Oh, remind me, we've got to talk about paedophiles. We must remember to talk about R. Kelly in a bit. But carry on. Yeah, sorry, go on.
No, I was going to talk about Brass House in a sec. But no, the notice on this Croydon shop, and Ian, this is your house, right? And on this Croydon shop, which does really good samosas, by the way, and it's West Croydon bus station, there's a notice, and it reads the following. It says, and just replace the word toilet for radio show, the toilet in this shop is maintained by Zan Coffee Shop staff. You can use this facility when the shop is open for business only, full stop. We have right to refuse anyone to use this toilet. I mean, the sentence structure could do a bit of, you know...
Have you learnt a toilet sign in a coffee shop in a bus station in West Wickham?
It's even more tragic. Bus station in West Croydon. I took a picture of it and put it up on my Facebook. Hello.
Okay. Yep. Sure. Carry on.
Yes. I captioned it with the hilarious. Despite the appalling grammar, it's a laudable sentiment. I thought it would get loads of likes. You know how many likes it got?
Three.
Not a sausage.
There we go. Okay.
That's rough. And then it says,
"Hang on a minute, you're bringing your dirty, used, failed
meme.
Secondhand material to us?
Well, no,
thinking we'd want it?"
I mean, yeah, beggars can't be choosers.
No, it's fair play. He's got a good point, though. He makes a good point. Yes.
And then it says, "Any misbehave, foul language and damages will not accept in any circumstances." Good. I mean, it's getting worse, the syntax.
Yeah.
"We take this matter very seriously and in big red letters, respect." You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is...
Telling us this why? George is showing bad manners and disrespect.
It's like he's come into your studio and he's just pissing everywhere.
Oh, okay, wow.
Gosh. What an image.
So I'd like to revert to the paradigm where us callers, we were mere guests. You know, Arab, Sayer, G-Man, Verinda,
You're talking about people from 15 years ago. Every one of those people you've just listed has died.
No, they have.
They're all dead.
I mean, Arab did sound like he was fresh from the streets. He might be dead. But the others...
Yeah, they're all dead.
I mean, but no, so that's what I'm trying to say. So we need to be... Look, I penned this as I was on hold. This be Ian House.
Oh?
Stop. This be Ian Lee House. Show ID. This one Ian Lee House. Halt. Who entering?
Are you
who entering?
Mad?
What the hell are you talking about, man?
Because it's your house.
Yeah.
I mean, before I go, can I just say this quickly? Look, people
10,
have different options.
9, 8, 7, 6,
am I about to be tougher?
5, 4, 3.
I've got a little thing
2,
about a American shop shot. Makes you go and kiss with.
Oh.
0344. What was that?
Did he say kiss my at the beginning, at the end there?
I don't know.
No, I'm sure I misheard.
0344.
After his conversation about manners.
I want to go. Well, the adverts can wait because Scott has waited and I don't want Scott to wait anymore just for some. Crappy, you know, place where you can go and buy some tiles. So, which is an excellent. If we are advertising a tile retailer, that's the best.
They're the best tiles.
The greatest tiles. But Scott is more important than tiles right now. At 11:15 on a Friday night. If you're thinking about tiles, then you need to get a life.
Or new tiles.
New tiles from the tile retailer that we might be advertising. Yeah, I don't know. I don't listen to the ads, but I'm grateful for them.
You only advertise the best.
Scotty.
Yo, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, Scott. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. But.
Scott, can I ask, is it possible to not be on speakerphone? Because it's just a little bit echoey and a little bit difficult to hear you, mate.
Hang on.
Here we go. Thank you for your patience, caller. Here we go.
Hello?
We are in the house. Yes, Scott. Sorry to keep you waiting. What you got? I can hear you very well, mate.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right, man. We got there. It's fine. What can we do for you tonight, Scott?
Well, I don't know. Of course, yeah. And the thing that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
But an idea was that I didn't want to talk about it.
You got nothing to talk about. Well, do you want to fight?
Well, no.
I'll punch you? You punch me?
You know what? I listen to you all the time.
Yeah.
The boy, that is the thing that I want to talk about, but now I've called you.
Yeah, you got nothing to talk about. But,
no, mate.
Fight me.
When I listen to you, I'm at work.
Yeah, fight me. Fight me then. Fight me. It's as simple as this. If you haven't got anything to talk about, we're going to fight.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know any of the martial arts?
No, but I'll talk a career.
Excuse me? Excuse me? Right, record that, because that's evidence. If I do get murdered, then we know it was this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, how would you kill me? Are you going to use weaponry or bare fists?
No, I think
Right, you're gonna pick a wheelchair up, right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What are you gonna do with the wheelchair? You're gonna lift it above your head?
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell are you doing in a wheelchair if you can stand up and lift it above your head?
Okay, I can fall out onto the floor.
Yeah. Tell you what, mate, tell you what, let's do this in real time, right? This is what's gonna happen. This is me and Scott, right? We're there. So how long do you reckon it will take you to stand up out of your wheelchair and lift it above your head? Oh, I'm sorry, mate. Now you're on the floor, and I'm just shooting you. You see what happened there? You see what happened there, Scott?
That was a mean trick, that. You didn't say that you were going to be tooled up.
Mate, he's about to threaten me with a wheelchair!
I know, but I mean...
And here's the thing, Scott, and this is my advice to you. Is it electric wheelchair or manual?
Manual.
Right, OK. Well, you need... It's tricky on a manual, but what you need to do is you need... I saw it in a film once. You need to get, like...
Knives.
Gun... No, well, knives on the wheels, obviously. Yeah. But guns fitted into the armrests.
No. Everybody said that, yeah. They all go, oh, but you got this, but you got that in wheelchair.
Yeah.
If you were to try to put in a wheelchair in your booby car...
Yeah.
With
knives.
With a knife from the wheel. If there's no one there...
I love the fact he's actually considered how practical it would be to put knives on the wheel of his wheelchair.
Yeah.
I've got a decent car. I'm not doing that.
Well, you need...
Sides up.
Okay, well, then you need to go to what I was doing. You need to have on your armrest, in your armrest guns, and you need to be able to just press a button so they come out and... Just trying to save your life, buddy.
Forget that yesterday. Or just bring you over in the car.
Yeah?
Well, I wouldn't do that anyway.
Okay. So if you got that desperate, you'd stand up and you'd lift the wheelchair above your head and throw it at someone.
Well, yeah. If you gave my head in that much,
yeah. Yeah, he deserved it.
Anyway, listen, I can't remember what I'm going to say now.
I hope you're going to say, sorry, sir, please spare my life. I beg you, you are the greatest. And I might show some clemency, Scott. I might just show the better side of me and just shoot you unconscious and then walk away and leave you to either bleed to death or be found. So that would be quite good of me. This guy is cruising for bruising. All right, Scott, listen, nice to talk to you. All I'm going to say is just keep looking over your shoulder, mate, all right?
All right.
Thank you, Scott. Goodbye. Let's see, he had nothing to talk about, and then he ended up threatening to kill me.
I know, well done, Scott.
No, don't...
I'm sorry, bad.
Don't encourage that.
Badness.
I enjoyed that, Scott. Thank you. I was reminded. I'm not on Twitter. I went on Twitter for about 20 minutes today. I'm on Twitter on my record label, but I went on the Imani CD that I released, Unsung, is now out on digital. It's just come out on digital, but it's got five tracks that no one's ever heard before. She gave us for free. No one's ever heard them, and they're great. I might have played one on the show. And it's available on iTunes, and I don't know where kids buy music these days. And so I reopened my @IanLee Twitter, because I thought, oh, this is worth plugging on there. So I reopened my @IanLee Twitter after having it switched off for 5-6 days, and I posted on there. And then I just couldn't settle. I felt dirty. So I deleted my Twitter feed again. And then loads of people went, why has Ian blocked me? He's blocked me. No, I just deleted my Twitter. But go and buy the Imani album, Unsung, either on CD or go onto your iTunes or whatever and buy it. It's got 5 bonus tracks on there. But I was reminded that ages ago, like years ago, when I was really bored, I did a barroom brawl on Twitter. I just said, I've just walked into the bar. I don't like the look of any of you. Who wants a fight? And then loads of people, it went on for ages. It was very, very funny and very, very silly. Loads of people, like someone, maybe in Watco, someone just went, before you've even got time to look around, I've picked up a chair and smacked it over your head. Boom, we're off. We're off and we're having like karate barroom brawl on Twitter. It was very, very funny. It was very silly. And that reminded me of that with Scott, except with Scott, it's going to be real. 0344. What's he doing in a wheelchair if he can stand up and lift it above his head? That should be the test, right? That wheelchair, do you need it? Yeah. Well, can you stand up and lift it above your head?
What, like this?
Yeah. You don't need the wheelchair. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. So we had Tamara Simmons,
yeah,
the executive producer of the Surviving R. Kelly documentary, six-part series that starts in February, but you can watch it online. It starts February in the UK. It's already aired in the States, and I do think it is the most incredible and one of the most important TV programmes in a long, long time. Probably the most important TV programme in a long, long time, because it exposes corruption, it exposes financial and sexual corruption, bullying, manipulation, the use of fame to get what you want, the raping of your children. It's horrendous. It's horrendous, but it's fascinating and it's important, if you can see it. And we had Tamara on, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
All over the place. We had that day off. My head's all over the place. We had Tamara on yesterday. And that's gone out as a podcast, and she was the executive producer, and it's well worth a listen. And really lucky to get her, actually. And we're trying to get a few more people that were in the show to come on the show. Kath sent out some messages today to the team behind the Mute R. Kelly kind of hashtag organisation, which is basically trying to get, you know, R. Kelly concerts pulled and get his songs pulled from the radio and online and stuff like that. And the parents of one of the victims. And so we had Tamara on last night, and it's always, as we always do, when we have a guest, we put out a bonus podcast, which is the guest. We do a best of, and then we put out the guest interview. And I'm off Twitter. Twitter's gone for a while for me, but I saw Catherine had tweeted it, and Talk Radio had tweeted it. And then Kath kind of phoned me up and said, you won't believe what some of the comments we're getting. Go on, what were some of the comments we got to a story about... A rich black pop singer holding young black girls prisoner.
Right.
What was some of the reaction we got to that? Surely everyone should be going, hey, high fives. Great for bringing this to our attention. Pats on the back. Well done. Oh, I didn't know this. Or, oh, I did know this. Thanks for highlighting it.
Yeah, there was because Talk Radio put out a 2-minute clip of the, you know, an interview that went on for about 17 minutes. And straight away, there were two comments on there. And I'm surprised, actually, there haven't been more, but I'm kind of relieved as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's good.
Because sometimes when Talk Radio tweets things from this show, we get largely people who don't know what the show is about wading in, and they don't get it, and it's quite obvious.
They don't get it.
And it ends up being a bit embarrassing for them.
Yes.
But one guy said, pretty sure where these incidents are occurring, Chicago, has a black majority city council and a black majority senior police officer. Whoever is on the phone is talking complete and utter SH1T. Ooh. Whoever's on the phone, yeah, the executive producer of a documentary series that you've not watched.
I don't understand what they were talking SH1T about,
well, because,
apparently.
Because Tamara, we asked Tamara why R. Kelly's not in prison.
Yeah, okay.
We've got all these women coming forward with very kind of credible evidence against him. And the fact is, he's already been in court once for these tapes.
Yeah.
People call them sex tapes. They're child abuse tapes.
Yeah, yeah.
Of a girl who is a very young teenager being urinated on. And the way he got out of it was, he said it wasn't him, she said it wasn't her, and her parents agreed. But her aunt said it was her niece, and her best friend said it was her best friend.
Yeah.
And there were other women within the house who said that they had knowledge of her, carnal as well, without realising that she was so young.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at the phrase carnal
knowledge,
because I've not heard that for years. I'm
you
so
know what
sorry,
I mean?
It's not a funny topic, but I know exactly what you mean. I've just not heard that phrase for
so
such a long
got
time.
People
but
who
right,
recognised
yeah,
her from her body parts
yeah,
alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were that familiar
yes,
with it. So that's how it happened. But also Tamara highlighted the fact that at the moment in America, there is a, and there has been for a while, a racial situation, which means that if you want to do something bad, if you want to hurt somebody, you know, if you want to murder someone, take out a black man. If,
yeah.
And these are her words. And this was in the documentary.
Yeah.
If you want to rape somebody and get away with it, black girls.
Yeah.
And she said the fact that they're black girls is a factor.
Yeah.
And that was repeated over and over by various black activists and people who had survived abuse. They said that the fact that they were black women meant that they mattered less.
Yeah.
And that's something that they're trying to combat.
It seems pretty obvious in a country where, you know, 50 years ago, there was still segregation.
You know,
black people couldn't go to the, in certain parts of America, couldn't go to the same concerts as white people. But then what was the other comment?
So this guy was reacting to that.
Yeah.
So the suggestion that the fact that they were black was a factor. He's saying that can't be because the people in power are black.
But what was the woman's comment?
Black girls' voices don't matter. White innocent female children's voices do not matter, according to people paid to protect them from grooming gangs. What's colour got to do with it? If someone rapes or molests a child or woman, they should be in prison. End of story.
Idiot. Who's that from? Name them, because it's in a public forum. Embarrassing.
Lisa Hart 0536. Lisa,
what the hell are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about? So you think that because we're why would you even bring? Why would you even do that? I don't understand what your dumb point is. What, because we were, because it was suggested, and if you look at the evidence, it seems pretty clear that these girls are not being believed simply because they're black. What, you think that means we condone white girls being raped? Are you nuts? Are we think we're saying that black girls are more important, or that white girls aren't important when it comes to being raped? Are you insane? You absolute bell cheese.
You can acknowledge that both are a factor without denying one or the other.
Here's the thing. We weren't talking about Rotherham or any of the Asian grooming gangs. And I'll say it, the majority of the men come from a specific part of Pakistan. I don't mind saying that. The majority of the men are Muslim. I don't mind saying that. Oh, no one says it on the mainstream media that they're Pakistani. Said it, they're Pakistani. I love them Pakistani. But because... We weren't talking about that.
No, but actually we did talk about it a little bit afterwards when we talked about the fact that these women who went to court and testified against R. Kelly were disbelieved because at least some of the jurors didn't like the way they acted, didn't like the way they walked or talked or dressed, and therefore didn't believe them.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar to you? Because that's exactly what happened with a lot of the Rotherham girls.
And here's the thing, right? Obviously, we think that what happened in Rotherham and all those other areas, and it looks like there was. I heard on the news last week that it looks like there's another story bubbling away. You know, a group of men have been arrested, and just because we weren't talking about that, because we were talking about a specific other event, doesn't in any way mean we condone them? Doesn't in any way we mean that those white girls deserve to get raped? I just don't understand why you would bring that up. We're talking about this specific story that I don't think has had the attention it deserves. It doesn't exclude any other victim of rape or sexual abuse or molestation. It doesn't exclude them at all.
No.
It doesn't exclude them. Why would it? Why would you think that, you thicko?
Most of all, just could you watch it before you make a comment?
They don't even watch it. Delete your Twitter. Destroy your radio and just go away. You absolute pleb. Why would you even bring that up? Because you're thick. That's why. Because you're thick. What about the white girls that got... Yes, we know. That's horrendous. And I tell you what, if ever we get a guest connected with that, we'll talk about that. But we were talking about this specific thing because it was on a programme that we'd specifically watched that week. It's just come out that we watched that is a huge, huge story.
We're also wondering...
It should be, but it's not.
We're also wondering how people can be aware that girls are being kept somewhere against their will and the police won't do anything. We're just wondering why there is no feeling that they need to do something. We asked a question.
I hate that. Okay. Well, black girls matter. Well, so do white girls. Yeah. Yeah, I know. But it would appear that in this specific instance, the fact that they're black means that it's not being looked at. You know, why would people? Man.
Anyway.
People.
In related news, R. Kelly's former manager has been arrested on suspicion of threatening the father of one of the women.
Yes.
Henry James Mason, 52, turned himself into police.
I'm James Mason.
In Atlanta, Georgia, by the way, to that Twitter correspondent who had a pretty good idea of what was going on in Chicago. Pity he hadn't watched the documentary. We're talking about Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
He's facing a felony charge of making terroristic threats. Mason has been accused of hurling abuse at Timothy Savage, the father of Jocelyn Savage. He's alleged to have told Savage...
Joycelyn, yes. Because I thought it was a very unique name, Joycelyn.
I'm going to do harm to you and your family. When I see you, I'm going to get you. I'm going to effing kill you, wowzers. According to CNN. Joycelyn has been at the centre of claims. She's been brainwashed and is being held against her will as a sex slave by the shamed pop star. She was the one that featured in the TMZ video. It's mentioned here in this article in the Mirror Online. She's spoken to insist she's totally fine, telling TMZ.com, I'm not being brainwashed or anything like that. I just want everybody to know, my parents and everybody in the world, that I'm totally fine. I'm happy where I'm at. That was a video where you could see someone turn into cut at the end.
Yeah. It's some documentary. Do try and watch it if you feel up to it, because it's grim. You know, there's not many laughs in it. There's certainly a couple of punching the air.
There are a couple of moments of
celebration.
Victory.
Yeah, but it is grim. But yeah, we're going to try and get some more guests from that, and we're going to keep on just pushing that story because I don't think it's getting the attention that it deserves. 0344 499 1000 is my telephone number. If you want to give us a call, let's go to Demetrius.
Hi there, I'm calling to talk about Brexit today.
Brexit today. Tikanis?
Well, I'm actually quite good, but Greek is my second language because I'm actually British.
Okay, all right. You've got a very strong Greek accent.
Well, I do have a very strong Greek accent because the Greek community puts us in Greek schools and we all speak Greek among ourselves.
Okay.
And then we go to university in the workplace.
Why do you sound so angry about it?
English.
Don't be so angry about it. Greek's a beautiful language. I learned Greek for a long time.
Man, Greek is terrible. There's so much grammar into it.
It's the thing. There's more irregular verbs than there are regular verbs.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a nightmare to learn. But the only thing I can remember is puina to telefono mu. Where's my telephone?
That's it.
And you put mu at the end to make it. But anyway, all right. Well, I'm not going to have a go at you for not speaking Greek, Demetrius. I might have a go at you for speaking Brexit. But go on. What have you got?
Well, the thing is, what I don't understand with the people who want Britain to continue to be a part of the EU is why they're bringing the place down. See what I mean? In an ideal world, I'd like the UK to be in the place of Germany within the EU. But since Brexit happened, I've decided to embrace it. And I've decided, instead of talking the place down, to actually talk it up.
Who have you heard talking the place down, and what have they said?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give the Greek government credit for the fact that they did try to resist Germany. In the United Kingdom, you have both the opposition and the government basically, you know, acting like they're true Remainers.
Yeah. Who have you heard talking the place down, and what have they said?
Well, actually, it's not just the Remainer part that's done this.
Okay.
It's the Brexiteer part as well.
Okay. Who have you heard talking the place down, and what have they said? Because I've not heard that.
Well, you have a lot of politicians saying that we will enter a recession. We're going to have severe problems if a no deal goes ahead.
Why do you think they're saying we might have problems if a no deal goes ahead? Why do you think they're saying that?
Because they think that they're whitewashing themselves for the fact that they did not play a more constructive role during the referendum.
Do you think that when people like the head of the Bank of England and politicians and the farmers' unions and various big companies, do you think when these organisations and these individuals say we might have problems if there's no deal, do you think that maybe they're saying it because we might have problems if there's no deal?
Absolutely. Well, I was about to get into this. Well,
then how is that talking the country down? Surely that's just speaking, facts.
I'll tell you what I mean. I'll explain to you what I mean exactly.
Go on, I like you.
The problem with the Brexit side is that it is headed by the likes of Nigel Farage and Boris Johnson and Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Yeah.
I'll put it to you this way. Imagine if Jacob Rees-Mogg or someone like him was in the place of Churchill in 1940.
Okay.
Who would take him seriously?
Well, here's the problem. No one's in charge on the Brexit side. No one's in charge. There's lots of egos all kind of hovering around, waiting to see if they can nip in and become the next prime minister. But people do take them seriously.
That's a very innocent way of putting it. I think that Jacob Rees-Mogg and what's his name? Boris Johnson, the mayor of London. He spent 8 years in office doing what? From what I know, he went ahead with the skyscrapers that were already approved.
He was trying to get a hooky corrupt bridge built. That's what he was trying to do for his mates. That's all he did.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. I'll give you that. I'm not a big fan of Boris.
No, he's a plumber.
I'm actually sad that people outside of London in England genuinely support him because they think that he's a champion of England.
You've not given any evidence of anyone on the Remain side talking Britain down. They've just said, a lot of people have said that if we leave without a deal, then we might be in trouble. And that's a fact. We might be in trouble.
Well, we might be in trouble, but see, when Greece went into a proper confrontation with Europe, our leaders, or their leaders, if you like, because despite my accent, I'm a UK national, at least they were willing to go as far as to say to the people, we might have to exit the euro one day, but we will probably do well.
Yeah, look at the state of Greece now. Isn't Golden Dawn? Isn't Golden Dawn? Don't Golden Dawn have power? Aren't they part of a coalition in Greece now?
No, they're not part of the coalition.
But they've got a bit of a say, haven't they, the Golden Dawn?
And the problem with
extreme far right organisation.
Absolutely,
yeah.
I'm not.
And they've got a bit of say in how Greece is run now. That's.
No, they do not have a say as per se, but because we do not have a first past the post system.
No, but aren't they?
No lives like Golden Dawn end up getting representation in the parliament. If we had a proportional representation system like the one the Lib Dems were campaigning about in this country, we would have UKIP taking about 10 or 15% of the seats in the parliament.
Here's the thing. I'm getting bored, Demetrius, because here's the thing. I don't really care about Brexit. I couldn't care less. But we're all screwed. A text just flashed up on my screen, or a tweet from, and this just sums up most of the listeners to this station, right? Where did it go? Here we go. This is a tweet to Talk Radio. And a lot of these words are in capitals. There's a great feel about no deal. No deal feels right. No deal feels honest. No deal feels real. No deal feels empowering. No deal feels just like what we voted for when we voted to leave the EU. No deal, great feel. No deal, the people's deal. No deal, our deal. That's the bollocks we're dealing with, idiots like that. Hey, listen, there's idiots on both sides. Here's the problem for the Remainers, is there's no one in power who's kind of sticking up for the other 48%. There's no one doing it. Corbyn's not doing it. What's Corbyn wants out? And this is what I don't get. This is what I don't get, right?
Socialists were never in favour of the EU to begin with.
So here's the thing, right?
Melanchon in front.
Theresa May wants us to stay. And Jeremy Corbyn wants us to leave. That's their basic, from what I can understand, and that's their basic positioning. And it's all about power now. It's all about who's going to be the next Prime Minister. Is it going to be Rees-Mogg? There's Gove who's there going, please, sir, can I have a go, sir? You got Johnson, you got Corbyn. They're all jostling to be the next. They don't give a stuff about you, Demetrius. They don't give a stuff about me. They got enough money in their pockets to last them. They don't care. Scumbags.
Well, some of them are, but as a member of the Labour Party, I could never say that for Comrade Corbyn, could I?
Say it. Say he's a scumbag. Say Corbyn's a scumbag. Say it. Say it.
No, I cannot say that.
Say it!
No.
Be a man, Demetrius.
Even though I would have been in favour of the UK staying in the EU, I have to salute Corbyn's intransigence and ability to resist the establishment right to the very end.
He is the establishment. None of this resists the establishment. He's the establishment. He's the leader of the opposition.
The guy's from North London. I mean,
I lived in North London for 20 years. I'm the establishment. He's the establishment, man.
No, he's not the establishment.
Oh, come on.
I spent 4 years living around Alexandra Park.
Hey, I used to live Alexandra Palace?
Yeah,
I lived in Muswell Hill.
Area. Crescent Road.
Hey, I lived in Colney Hatch Lane.
Oh, wow.
We were neighbours. I was number 68 Colney Hatch Lane. Neighbours.
Oh, wow, that is amazing.
That is incredible, man. Just around the corner from me. I used to live around the corner from this guy.
I heard, you said it quite loud.
The only reason I genuinely like Corbyn compared to the rest of the politicians, even though ideologically speaking I would have been closer to the Lib Dems of Nick Clegg, is because, see, I've spent a lot of time working in warehouses and that.
Yeah.
I believe that someone like Corbyn would know what it feels like to be unemployed for a week or two.
Yeah.
Well, the likes of, Jacob Rees-Mogg or what's his name, David Cameron, would be like, unemployment, that's something for the plebs, that's not for us.
Hey, Demetrius, listen, I've enjoyed, do you listen to this show?
Of course I do.
Well, then what made you think that we talk... I mean, we have talked about it, but what made you phone us up to talk about Brexit? You know, this is Ian Lee and Catherine, not Nick Abbott.
Well, I do understand that, but I genuinely wanted to get my point across.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. Let's go to Rebecca. Good evening, Rebecca.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Kath.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about Twitter. Because I'm a trans girl, and we've talked a little bit on Twitter in the past.
Oh, yeah.
I know you.
Yes, I know you. Yeah. Bex.
Hello there.
Hiya.
I want to talk a bit about mental health and Twitter.
Yeah, go on.
Because I know that it doesn't always get along with you, and sometimes you need to come off Twitter or whatever. But for me, it's the kind of opposite, and I feel completely addicted to the place.
But addicted in addicted has negative connotations to me. Are you saying it's positive for you?
It makes me feel really good being there, but it's taking up so much of my attention. Because I'm kind of only can be trans at certain points. I can't be I can't be Rebecca when I'm doing my professional job, for instance.
Right.
It's the one place where I can be me. And I get a heck of a lot of kind of affirmation and validation.
So you can be... Do you remember... what was that place? Second Life. Do you remember Second Life?
Yeah, I went on that.
I never went on it. I might go on there and see what's happening. But Second Life, you could kind of create like an alternate universe where you'd create your little avatar and you could wander around and be that person. Mm-hmm. There are lots of people, you know, became very sexy women or very sexy men or very sexy animals. You know, there's a thing like that. Are you saying that it's kind of that it's a similar thing, Bex, in that you've got this whole persona on Twitter and you can kind of live in the virtual world as your true self when you feel you can't do it necessarily in the real world?
Yeah, it's not necessarily a persona. It is the kind of the real me.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah.
That never gets to come out when I'm sitting in the office. But when I'm at the office, I can be me. So when I'm the kind of other me, the boy me, I'm kind of anonymous. But when I'm the real Rebecca me, and I can be the real me, I've got kind of 16,000 followers. And it's my birthday today, and I put a message on Twitter for that. And I had like 500, thank you, I had like 500 likes. And it's so powerful. That's like an addictive thing to have that. And it's taken up so much of my attention and time.
I'm so used to seeing you on Twitter. I can't imagine you in drag as a man.
I'm not quite as striking, I don't think, as a man, which is probably the problem because it's quite it gives you quite a high when suddenly everybody kind of wants to tell you nice things.
Yeah, you've got a lot of fans on there, I've noticed.
Well, here's the thing, because I am pretty anti-Twitter and I would love to be able to get rid of it permanently. I don't know if I can, but I'm not on it. Apart from the record label where I'm just selling records, and I'm enjoying that because I can focus on it. I found... Bex, that it was taken up, that since I got rid of it like 5-6 days ago, my Ian Lee account, I'm still going in the search and searching my name to see if people are saying, where's Ian? There's only a handful of people have missed me. Hardly anyone's missed me, which was disappointing, but also, no, it was. It was disappointing to my ego, but actually, that's good because it shows me, Twitter isn't that important to me and to the... I've been... Because I'm addicted to it, right? And I was on it a lot, and I was posting everything. But I find I'm being much more productive, getting a lot more work done. I'm getting a lot more creative stuff done. I say I'm on this record label Twitter account. I'm selling stuff, which I haven't done for ages. I'm more focused on the show. This was it. This was what. Kath, tell Bex what you said to me earlier. When you were going to respond to some of those R. Kelly people.
I saw them and I saw those things happen. Great. And it happens every time when talk radio puts something up. I'll see things from people who don't get it, right? And it infuriates me. And my natural instinct, because I am who I am, is to want to wade in and set them straight, which, of course, is a ridiculous thing to do on Twitter because no one's mind or very few people's minds were ever changed when they come striding in with a conversation. Well, it isn't a conversation. You know, it was just the usual kind of... it was the usual kind of knee-jerk reaction from these people. And then you look at their Twitter feed stream, and of course it's all that stuff. So why on earth would they say anything different? But I said to Ian that I'd started writing it, and then I thought, no, I'm going to message you instead.
Thank you.
And you're going to talk me down. And you did just that. But because that had been your strategy with me before.
What was the phrase you said? You said, I'm not going to give him a freebie.
No, we'll save it for the show.
We'll save it for the show. Here's where we are in a slightly, not quite unique position, but different to a lot of Twitter users. We've got a national radio show. I've actually got less listeners than I have followers. But we've got a national radio show to come on and do our little witticisms and our little funny memes and our pithy points and our arguments. We don't need to do it.
No.
On there. And I think this week...
And it only ever riles me up. Why would I do that?
Yeah. The shows have been a bit sparkier because we're keeping all the good lines for the show.
Yeah. But I remember having a conversation with you before you came off Twitter saying, I wish you wouldn't look for validation on Twitter.
Yes.
And that was heartfelt.
But then, thank you, Bex. It's good to hear a different perspective from someone who is actually getting a lot of positivity and warmth and love and all those kind of things from Twitter. So I'm glad to hear it.
I am getting that. There's not many downsides. But then I find... By the evening, there's so much I haven't accomplished outside of Twitter.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
Because you're never done. You're never done on there.
No, it refreshes every 5 seconds and then you've got something new to look at and, yeah.
And you know it's designed to be addictive. Like, when the little blue notification thing comes up, you're inclined to chase it. It's like chasing on a video game. It's all designed
chasing
that way.
The dragon. It's like chasing the dragon. That's what you're
and doing. I kind of know. I can kind of see all that. Yeah. Part of my brain is doing that. And the other part is just wallowing in it.
I get it. I get why.
Bex, this is the first time you phoned the show, I think, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
There you go.
How
does it feel? I know we have a lot of nervous callers. I know you were nervous. You'd messaged me before saying, I want to phone, but... you've done it for other nervous callers. What do you reckon?
I was very nervous until I rang the number and I spoke to the nice chap who does the phone.
Doesn't remember your name, Sam. She doesn't remember your name, Sam. Get used to it. That's showbiz. That's showbiz.
But everybody should call in because it's fab.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, nice to talk to you, Bex. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Tutty bye. 03444991000. After the news, if they stick around, we've got Nigel in Maidstone. We've got James. This could be a great last hour of the week before Kellner at 1. Killer Kellner. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
You get back in the groove again.
Watching shadows fall with messages from friends. I know the truth rings out sharp.
That's a song, man. Remember that? Anyway,
no, I don't know it.
It was Out of My Hair, In the Groove Again. That was it. That was a song. It was great. Okay, Nigel said they were going to come to you in a bit. Be patient. We're going to go to James first. Yeah. Good evening, James.
Hello.
Hello, James. You're live on Talk Radio, on the most popular late-night phone-in show of the country.
Radio.
Sorry?
And you know what? It's about time this crap came to an end.
Okay. Anyone got an idea what this idiot's talking about? Anyone? No? Okay, we'll continue.
First of all, yes? Don't call me an idiot.
I apologise, sir.
Why are you talking in that voice?
It's his voice. Mm. He's not going to find out and do a voice. It's his voice.
Listen to me.
Sorry, sir. Sorry. Ooh, what's your language? Hang on a minute.
What did he call me?
He said, damn it.
Oh, right.
Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute.
Language,
damn it.
Timothy.
Okay. Okay. Yes, yeah, sorry, sir. Sorry, James. Away you go, sir.
You had some idiot on the phone called Demetrius.
Okay, yes.
Why the hell do you allow such crap?
Was that you doing a Greek accent?
No.
It was, wasn't it?
No.
And are you the guy that phones up and does the Scouse accent?
No.
I got suspicious. I kind of worked it out when he had his friend there in the background.
Yeah.
That's when you had your friend there in the background.
Hey, whoa.
That's what gave it away.
I'm going to give it away.
Yep.
Demetrius is a genuine Greek.
Prove it. Do his voice.
How can I prove?
Do his voice.
Right. Demetrius, I'm running over to him on the couch. Demetrius, do your genuine voice. Talking to it.
Wait, hang on.
Language, Timothy.
Okay, you guys go and smoke a bit more weed.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Let's smoke some reefer. That's not the official advice of Talk Radio. Hey, Nigel.
Oh, hi. Hi, Ian.
Hey, Nigel, you sound like you're hiding in a cupboard. What's happening? Oh, is your girlfriend in?
Hi. I was going to say, I know a transsexual, a tranny.
Oh.
We don't say tranny anymore.
Well, tran is it?
We say trans.
Trans.
Trans is, I think, is kind of the word that we use at the moment. That's right, that's fine. That's, no, I
when Mum was in hospital.
Yeah.
The last 7 weeks in hospital, bless her heart, I got to know a tran in Tunbridge Wells.
Oh, fantastic. And
yeah, and he was dressed as a lady all the time.
Yep.
And I thought I could tell that it was someone who was going to have a sex change.
Right.
And he'd had the top half done, but he was waiting to get the bottom half.
Yeah, well, it's very expensive to do it all in one go.
Yes, he said that you have to wait a long time for the operation. You know, for the operation.
Yeah.
A long time to wait, he said.
Yeah.
And he was looking forward to it, he said.
Well, you know, it's good.
He was a lovely guy. He's on my Facebook. His name's Kylie something. I don't know. I'll have to follow it. I'll have to try.
Well,
and
here's the thing, though. It's a little bit of a head-scratcher, is that, and again, this is not having a go, is that you would refer to her as a her. She's a lovely woman.
Of course, yeah, once they've had the operation.
Well, even before, if they... The phrase is self-identify. Yes. If they say that they are a woman, then it's kind of polite to respect that. And
in actual fact, I know another one in Tunbridge now. There's
there's loads of them in Tunbridge. It's a hot spot.
There's a lot of them about in the country, isn't there?
Isn't it?
Well, in Tunbridge and Tunbridge Wells, there seems to be more.
That seems to be the place to go.
Well, have you been to Tunbridge a lot? Then how do you know? Have you been?
Because you literally just told me. I don't know if you remember that.
I, in actual fact, I used to work with a tran. When I was drunk.
Put an S at the end of it. It makes it easier. Trans.
Yeah. Trans woman.
Somebody called woman. Linda Grant, who played a trumpet and saxophone, a musician, sort of a man's instrument, but then had to change.
Come on, now you're talking bollocks. A saxophone isn't a man's instrument.
No, well, you see what I mean? You have to have a lot of breath.
Women can have a lot of breath.
I've been breathing quite a lot. Yeah.
Kath is a heavy blower.
Kath is
one of the biggest blowers at Talk Radio. She can blow and blow and blow, and sometimes she can suck as well.
I'm a champion.
Have you heard of it, Linda Grant?
No, I've heard of Eddie Grant.
Well, this Linda Grant was started off on Huey Green's Opportunity Knock.
You're obsessed with talking about that show.
No, she's true. She was on it.
I didn't say it wasn't true. You're obsessed with that.
Were you on it?
Years ago, yes, 30 years ago. Yeah, and of course, I did some gigs with a band, and she was cabaret some night.
What did you do on Opportunity Knocks? Were you a drummer or singer?
With an organist. I always used to play with an organist.
Were you a drummer?
Yes, of course, yeah. But Ian, I'm not getting over mum very easily.
Oh, hang on, hang on a second. Sorry to interrupt. But I've just Googled Opportunity Knocks drummers, right? You've not come up. But the Johnson sisters have. Let's just have a listen to this. These aren't the Johnson sisters. Hang on.
One of the top winning acts of 1971 were four delectable dollars.
I never won.
Shall I be quiet, please, Nigel?
Since being with us on June
7th, look at these girls. This looks like an amazing outfit.
Both at home and abroad. Are they Variety Club Trophy winners of 1971? Lend your eyes and ears and find out as the Johnson sisters from Wales perform again.
Yes. This is great. So there's four women in identical clothing. I'm guessing they're sisters playing their own instruments. One's got a beautiful white Hofner bass.
And some of them are playing men's instruments. I hope the men don't find out.
And they're dancing while they're playing. Look at that. That's a beautiful bass. Look at that. I like the Johnson sisters.
Did they win the show?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Did they win the show?
I've got absolutely no idea, Nigel. Oh. I've literally just Googled them.
Oh, I see. But there must be millions of people on Opportunity Knock. Well, thousands, anyway.
Hundreds.
There must have been a lot of shows. Must have been 30 or 40 shows.
I don't know. I don't really. I'm too young to remember.
A long time ago now, anyway.
I remember the Fame Game. And I remember, what did Marty Caine do?
Caine did the Stars in Your Eyes, didn't she, once?
No.
Oh.
No.
Didn't she do...
Did she do Revamped Opportunity Knocks?
She did, I remember.
I thought she did another.
Marty Caine, the one that got ever so thin.
That was... Well, Marty Caine, or are you thinking of Lena Zavaroni?
Oh, no, but Marty Caine died of thinness. That thinness.
I don't think she died of thinness.
She died of cancer.
She had cancer.
Oh, it makes you
cancer.
Thin.
Yeah,
she did New Faces.
New Faces, right.
Winner and presenter of New Faces.
Yeah, she was good, Marty Caine. I like Marty Caine. Anyway, Nigel, what comes
I've got a song for you. I was going to try and sing a Charlotte Church song called Somewhere.
Do you know what?
Classical one.
Do you know what? I'm going to pass on the song tonight.
Oh, well, what would you like me to do then? So anything else?
No, I'm just going to pass.
I was going to say about mum.
Go on then, yes, talk about mum. Let's
get
real.
I'm still very upset about mum, of course. Every day I wake up and she's not there. And it's very heartbreaking still for me.
Yeah,
Does it get easier as you go on?
It definitely gets easier.
I changed the duvet tonight for the second time, the duvet. That was pretty difficult. You know, it's hard to get into the thing, aren't they?
I know a way to do it. I was taught by Neris Hughes how to do the duvet. It's true.
Inside out.
I did it after about half an hour it took me.
Yeah, well, it's a good bit of exercise for you.
Yeah, so I managed to do all that.
Well, why don't you give Martin Kellner a call after one? I'm sure he'd be happy. Martin's giving the thumbs up. If you call Martin after one, have you listened to Martin before?
No, I haven't been on Martin's show before.
Have you listened to Martin before?
No.
Oh, you should listen. After 1 o'clock on a Friday and a Saturday night, Killer Kellner comes in. He's beating a man up to death. He does the show right through the night. He's given me the thumbs up. He would love for you to phone up and sing a song to him.
But it's a bit late for the neighbours. That's what I'm thinking of.
You could do it quietly.
Well, I could do the same song quietly.
You could do it quietly down the phone. Honestly, he's apart from the man he battered to death, he's Martin. He deserved it, I'm being told. He's a nice guy. He's a really, really good show.
Yes.
And I know, for everyone who listens to us, by the way, you didn't get through to 1 o'clock, or maybe you want to speak to someone after one, you can phone Kellner up.
I'll try to get you on.
Hang on, Nigel, we're just talking.
Just don't cross him.
No, don't cross him. But after 1 o'clock, you can still carry on phoning up. We don't make that clear enough.
I thought you couldn't ring up more than once an evening.
You can ring up different shows. You can ring up Martin five times. We'll let Martin make up his own rules on how many times... Yeah. He tells you to stop phoning him. But after 1 o'clock, Nigel, give him a call, because I'll be listening on my way home.
Okay, fine.
And I want to hear what you sound like on the radio.
I'll try Martin's show. I'll try and get it on the internet as well.
All right, Nigel. Nice one, mate.
Nice one, yeah.
Cheers, bye-bye. Thanks very much. There we go, that's that sorted. There we go. Martin's giving me the thumbs up now. I don't think he will at about 10 minutes past one. But I did, we don't say that enough, and we should say that. Sorry, and I dawned on me the other day when I was listening to Martin on the way home. You can call his show and Paul Ross's show, but you can call Martin after us at 1 o'clock tonight on a Friday, or after the Best of Us on a Saturday. I guess there is a Best of Us.
I made it. Yes.
You can call him up, and he's more than happy to take your phone calls. He's got loads of guests and stuff like that. He's got plenty of room. Trust me, he's got plenty of room for calls. I've listened to the act. And it's the same number, and same thing, you'll get called back, and it's all groovy, man. So you should start doing that. This is the Late Night Alternative, Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle, Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Tonight's show is dedicated to everyone who's lost someone to thinness. 0344. But I mean literally lost them, you just can't find them. So thin.
Fell down a crack.
0344.
Nigel.
Oh, my God. I so hope... Right, I hope he does call Martin after one, because I'll be listening on my way home. Right? And I'm gonna piss myself. Also, I think Martin deserves it. He deserves it.
There were some lovely comments while we were talking to him. Scott saying... Nigel from Maidstone walking through a minefield of gender identity etiquette with all the care of a hurricane down a highway.
I met a tram man.
God.
A tranny.
Bex, but I've certainly triggered some nice tran memories for him.
I mean, he'd have a great time with Bex if we put those two together. I think.
Bex, I wouldn't wish that on you.
Can't attempt it. Anyway.
No.
No. So anyway, what I'm saying is you call us now, but the phones don't have to stop at 1 o'clock. You can call after 1 o'clock. Speak to the man.
Yeah.
Speak to the man.
He'll probably be nicer to you than...
than he was to that fella. All that over a pickled egg. 03... I'll give it up now. 0344. We'll get Martin in just before one to let us know.
We've got material.
Oh, flipping it. We've got Chat is Fate. I forgot about that. No.
We've not just got that because I didn't realise it. I thought we might be due, but I never know because I'm not psychic like some of the people within its pages.
Yes.
So yesterday... day before... Yeah, yesterday I was in Tesco and I looked in the section that I haven't looked in for ages, entitled Magazines My Grandma Would Have Read. I've got the original Real Life Mag Chat.
Yeah.
I was drawn to headlines such as I Bring My Dolls on Dates, Did a Broken Nail Make Her a Killer, Will My Baby Girl Have Two Brains? So we've got that. That's chat.
Chat.
I think it may be from
so
the same
isn't
factory.
This isn't its fate.
No,
this is just chat.
That's Real Life Chat. And then there's one called That's Life! Exclamation mark. Pregnant with twins by different dads. My Sophie was paralysed by a cuppa.
A cuppa?
Yeah. Mum left my baby in a cage to die, and that wasn't the worst of it, is another one. But we can save that for another day, because I think Chat It's Fate is the Friday treat that everyone's been looking forward to.
So this is Chat It's Fate is psychics.
Yeah, paranormal stories. For example, I lost 6 stone with witchcraft. There's us trying diet and exercise. Death's messengers brought me back to life.
That's a brilliant.
Make runes and see your future. We could do that. Make runes and see our future. Driven from our home by a poltergeist. It watched us sleep. And my dreams keep me safe, but not everyone. Burnt alive because of my powers. Condemned to die. Heal yourself with mother magic. And that is just the front page. There's 62 pages of this stuff.
Ooh.
And it's beautiful.
Ooh. Hang on a minute. I've got to make sure this doesn't take a horrendous... okay, can I read a bit of this?
Well, okay, I haven't read it yet. You read it, maybe. That was going to be my favourite.
Let me do that in a second. We've got a couple of calls. Let's do this. Let's go to the calls first.
Reading your magazine before I've read it.
Well, I was going to read it out loud, so I'd read it to you.
Okay.
But let's speak to Christian first. Good evening, Christian.
Good evening.
Hello there.
I'm good. How are you?
Didn't ask.
I'm just letting you know.
Well, we're not interested.
I'm a bit interested.
Are you?
Mm.
Oh. I'm always... Well, do you, because you're... This is a genuine question, right? Because your name is Christian, does that make you more interested or less interested about the Christian faith than a normal person with a normal name?
Oh, I wish I could answer that. It's my middle name. It's my middle name, but it's my on-air name.
Scumbags.
Yeah. So what you're asking him is, like your cat Lucky.
Yeah.
Does he feel obliged?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Is there a pressure?
Well, actually, you know, I'm happy to be a spokesperson for the Christian faith if you want me to.
Yes,
be.
I would like that. So are you a Christian?
Catholic, but not really a practicing Catholic, so to speak. Like I wouldn't go.
So
to
you're
church.
Not Christian. You're kind of Christianish.
Christianish. Yeah. I went.
No, that's Christian.
I'm a bit of a Chris, yeah.
Okay.
I went through all of the processes. Funnily enough, because I think it was when I was younger, it was all to do with the whole, oh, you know, you'll get into a Catholic school.
Yeah.
Your devout Catholic Italian grandmother would like you to. So
yeah.
It was like, right, go get the bread, get the wine. I was like, this is great.
Didn't they mention, and maybe heaven?
Well, yeah, I'm still waiting on that promise to come through, but yeah. We'll see. Maybe in, I don't know, how many years?
I would say let me know, but I'm definitely not going there.
I don't think I will either, to be honest. So I'd like to check out the other place. It seems more interesting. Yeah, there's better people down there.
Doesn't it? Yes, man. There's going to be... Surely hell... Well, no, it's torture, isn't it?
Actually, I'll tell you what, I want to go wherever Mike McGee is
going. It's the absence of God, actually.
Oh.
I want to go wherever Mike McCartney McGee is going.
You'll hear him.
I feel like I'd have some good company
in
that.
Wasn't he brilliant?
Joyous.
I sat in the car listening to that
Perfect.
For so long. And, funny enough, that was kind of why I was ringing. I just wanted to say thank you so much for doing all of those segments on various people who I personally, for someone who's 25, would never have thought about.
Wicked, there you go.
Ever. Like, because there's so many people who I've kind of gone and listened to. Just before Christmas, there was Dave Hill. And it's like, wow. There's some cool people out there.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah. That means a lot. Because we had a couple of people saying they didn't like the guests. And obviously there are more people saying they like it and don't. And it knocked me a bit. But we're just trying to bring really interesting, creative people that might have slipped past you that we think are worth checking out. You know, even if you don't dig them, they're worth checking out. So you're going, that's not really my cup of tea.
Pick and choose. Cause, I mean, I'll be honest, I won't listen to all of the bonus ones just because it'll just be a time thing. But, yeah. I mean, he had so many good stories.
And you know what? I think we tip of the iceberg with that guy.
Yeah.
There's more, way more. I mean, but I just keep thinking about him tapping Jimi Hendrix on the knee to cue him in. How many other people can say they've done that? That's insane.
Touch of genius from him.
Oh, nice one, Christian. Well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And thank you for letting us know. That means a lot.
That's no problem. And my parting gift to you will be something that happened to me tonight. Yeah. In fact, this is quite serious. A man came up to me in the street and said he listened to your show. Oh. And then, I mean, I probably should go to the police because he pulled out his hand.
Oh.
And in his hand, he came towards me with it and went, tickle, 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 tickle.
A stealth tickle.
They're the worst kind. Christian, if anyone offers you
Excuse me,
tickle...
Did that one not work?
That one didn't work. You've got to go a little bit more. This is how you do it. Sam, come and help me out here, buddy. Catherine, help me. This is what you do.
Oh,
come
no.
and come in. So we're all not stood ready around you, Christian. You ready? First of all, do we have your permission to do this?
I'll speak to my Catholic friend.
Come on, Sam. Sam's the best in it!
You're touching my beard. Please leave me.
You love it, Christian. Thank you very much for your call, you little tickle monster. He loved it. I like that. Andrew.
Hello. Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Kath.
Hello, Andrew.
Hello. That chat is fake. Well, it's magazine. That's like the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh,
that's amazing.
It's just the best.
Yep. And I bought it.
I have to get a copy of the Inquirer from here because I can get the Inquirer that does all those sort of same stories.
Yes, man.
That was pretty cool.
It's great, isn't it? That you can print any old crap. Any old crap and just print it and people go, yeah, that's all
what,
right.
What, you mean this woman who claims she lost 6 stone through witchcraft is lying?
Yeah, and working out your future through wounds, is that what I heard you say?
What? Runes, not wounds.
Oh, sorry, the bad line. Okay. I was catching up on last week's shows earlier on in the week. I heard you talking about Daryl, the film Daryl. Did you manage to get a copy of it? Because I've got a copy that my dad worked on
film
years ago.
Daryl.
Daryl, the robot kid.
Were we talking about
briefly,
we did, didn't
yeah.
we did mention it? I forgot to as soon as that conversation was ended, Andrew, I dropped it. What did your dad do on it?
He was production, either production manager or production supervisor. I can't remember which. And he also did Braveheart, which you also mentioned on the same show. So,
hey, flipping it. Is your dad still with us?
No, he left us back in 2004.
Well, maybe.
Long gone, unfortunately.
I'm sorry to hear that, but maybe that was... We've got chat, it's fate here. I mean, certainly enough, that what we've just said there is certainly enough to get a 3-page spread in there. But maybe that was those two movies mentioned in the same, two very disparate movies mentioned in the same show. Maybe that's your dad just trying to say...
Maybe.
You know, take those videos back to Blockbusters or something. I don't know.
I could give it a try again.
But, I hope we brought some nice memories of your dad back. I hope
Yeah, they're good films. And also, all the stuff you've been saying about Ross, tonight I'm off to see the Matt Goss show in Vegas on the Strip.
Oh.
I've seen it once before. It's absolutely brilliant. So I know, Ian, I know you're not a fan of Vegas, but if you ever get a chance to see his one-man show, it's absolutely brilliant.
And what does
he
do, like Frank Sinatra tunes?
Yeah, it's kind of like lounge singer style. So he does a couple of... He does his When Will I Be Famous and something else, but he also does... like the Frank Sinatra style singing in a lounge with dancing girls stuff.
Does he do When Will I Be Famous in a swing style?
Yeah, it's a bit more swing than the version. I've got the CD of it. It's pretty good. It's not like the pop, the 80s pop version, electro pop. It's a swing one.
That
it's
one's
really
Matt,
good.
Isn't it? Matt yeah. Goss. When will
that one?
I
that one.
Be famous swing. All right. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Let's hear it.
Oh.
Well, there we go.
Yes, you're suitably the one with your body and soul.
Oh, this is great.
Yes, you are. You've wrecked our marks and you've taught yourself a dance. You're the best by far. Yes, you're totally obsessed. Triple threat, be the best. Yes, you are. You're rehearsing for the part. Every word is from your heart. Will you be a star? You keep asking the question, one you're not supposed to mention.
Okay, got the idea.
I like that.
Here's what we're doing. One of us is dressing up as Denim Bros. One of us is dressing up as Vegas Bros. That's what we're doing.
Well, I'm meeting his manager, I think, just beforehand, so I'll see if I can blag you one of his CDs.
Blag CDs. Here's what we want, right? Here's what we want. We want a video message from Matt Goss for everybody at the Rabbit Hole Picture Show who's about to watch the documentary. That's what we want. Can you do it?
All right. I'll have a chat. I'll see what I can do, but... yeah.
Here's the thing. If you did it, I know it's a long shot. If you did it, we'd love you forever. You got free tickets for the rest of your life to any of our shows. If you don't do it, you're dead to us. If you don't do it, you're dead to us. Never call us again. You're a scumbag.
Andrew, who?
Is that going to include the flight over? No.
Right. Goodbye, Andrew. Thanks for
you get that for nothing right, anyway, you chancer.
Absolute scumbag of a human being.
When will I? Will I be famous?
I can enter. I can answer that.
When will I see my picture in the papers?
No, wait, I think we've got the idea.
You get the idea. Yeah.
This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Right, so what chat it's fate? Are we doing I Lost Weight through...
Witchcraft. Well, let's have a look. Let's see what we've got. I've not looked at it properly yet, so... let's have a look.
Okay.
I mean, there's some...
You know we're on air now, yeah? You got that. You know we're on air now.
My favourite correspondent that you could write to in there is Roy DeLoon.
Sorry?
Roy DeLoon, who does the dreams.
Does he? I'm Roy DeLoon, I do the dreams.
He spells it... He looks like sort of goth with...
Oh, I tell you who he looks like. Hang on a second. What's that Limmy sketch? He looks exactly like... Let me find a picture.
The one that's supposed to be the Choose Your Own Adventure Man?
Yeah. What is it? I can't remember. What's it called? Flipping it. The adventure course. He looks. Oh, hang on. Let me find it. Hang on. Hang on a minute, guys. This is my mate Kath. But.
Oh, my, yes.
Looks exactly like an adventure call.
What's he called?
Adventure call. I can't remember the guy's name. I can't remember the name he plays. Hello, traveller. It's Falkenhoof.
Falkenhoof.
That's who he is. Falkenhoof. I couldn't remember the name. He looks exactly like Falkenhoof.
I dreamt that I was walking my dog. Dear Roy, I dreamt that I was walking my dog and we went to an old, unused swimming pool, still full of water. My dog jumped into the pool to bring up some pebbles, but when I walked over, he was sitting on the other side of the pool watching at me and actually laughing at me.
Watching at me?
Watching me and actually laughing at me.
Watching at me.
He said,
"You've done that to make them sound idiotic."
Well, he said, "Ha ha 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 ha! I've just taken the Mickey out of you again." And that comes from Valvani, age 52, from Edinburgh.
Valvani.
What does Roy say? I'll tell you, dear Val. There are some old emotional issues you're subconsciously focusing on. Can you think of a situation where you trusted somebody but were let down by them and ended up feeling crestfallen, embarrassed, yeah, or worse as a result? Yes, and so can I. And I haven't dreamt of a laughing dog.
It's life.
This is what's happening in your dream. Once you've worked out what this is about and why it's bothering you now, you'll be able to deal with the emotions. I mean, he's so wise. Yeah. All right, I'll tell you the story of losing weight through witchcraft, shall I?
Please do.
Can I have some special music?
I'm playing it.
The sun beat down as I lay on a sun lounger. Oh, I've started it wrong. Can I start
That's because you're not a professional. I'd have done this in one take, you're just saying.
The sun beat down as I lay on a sun lounger.
Yes, mate.
A sarong covering my size 22 bikini. Oh, yes. It was June 2018, and I was on holiday in Mallorca with my family. Do you want to come swimming in the pool with us, Mummy? My 8-year-old daughter, Tove, asked eagerly.
Tove.
Okay. No thanks, darling, I replied brightly. No thanks, darling, I replied brightly. A swim in the kiddie pool would exhaust me, I thought. At 17 stone 10 pounds, I was overweight, unfit and uncomfortable.
That's big, but that's, you know, that's still beautiful.
I had 4 children in 8 years and put on weight with each pregnancy.
One every 2 years that works out, but she may have had twins at some point. We don't know the full stats.
After giving birth to my last child, Ludo, now 18 months, I was a generous size 22.
Her children, Ludo, Cluedo, Monopoly and Mousetrap.
Mousetrap's a boy's name. I'd spent the whole holiday worrying about falling out of my bathing costume.
I'll trap your mouse. by using a diver what? To trap a mouse. So it's a diver, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Diver.
I'd spent the whole holiday worrying about falling out of my bathing costume, feeling hot and uncomfortable in the baking heat.
Ah, listen, Biggie's beautiful. We love it. BBW.
But she wasn't happy.
Well, that's okay. Then that's an issue then, but just saying BBW.
Exactly. As soon as I get home, I'm going to do something about my weight, I vowed.
All right, Kath, well, let's just talk about that later. Let's just do this story first.
The moment I said the words out loud, I felt better. You see, I already knew what I had to do.
As soon as I finish this show, I'm going for a pee.
Yeah, and I'm not going to eat 2 chocolate bars when I get home.
My bladder is full.
I had a secret weapon in the war against my weight. Do you know what it was?
Runes.
Witchcraft!
Oh, that's cheating. Shouldn't be allowed.
Over 20 years ago, I picked up a book on witchcraft in a shop and I began reading. It struck a chord with me and that's when my life as a witch began.
Excuse me?
Spellcasting. Since then, I've cast successful spells.
Since then, I've cast sexful spells. Many times. You're supposed to be, this is true, the best time to cast a spell. Do you know when it is?
When you're at your busiest.
It's at the point of orgasm. Mm. The point of orgasm, honestly, because your brain is focused and you're creating a unique energy that you can actually see in some women and with most men. You're the most focus, and that's when you go, and put a hex on him. Oh, yes. That will work. That will actually work. Trust me.
I cannot
go into detail, but trust me. Let's just say. Remember, Matthew Wright used to have a TV show, and then it all ended.
What? Hang on.
That's all I'm saying.
You were thinking of Matthew Wright on the point of orgasm.
Yep.
Well,
I do quite often anyway. I thought might as well 2 birds, 1 stone.
What, like Margaret Thatcher naked? That one.
Yeah, that's the fella. No. No, it was. It's just a nice image.
Oh, dearie me.
Nice image, but he wronged me. So I hexed him.
Since then, I've cast successful spells to help people find jobs, houses and love. In 2005, I used it to find my husband, Sean, now 43.
Well, where was he?
Well, you'll find out in a minute if you pipe down.
Okay.
Single and alone, I wanted a life partner, so I cast a simple candle love spell for myself.
Horny. Now, to do a horny candle spell, it's like the Hopi ear candle, except you don't put it in your ear. You've got to have it lit, and you kind of turn your downstairs department into a candelabra.
Well, let's find out how Inbal Hogniman, 44, from Huddersfield, West Yorkshire, did it.
Easier for women. Well, women, easier for women, but men can still use this procedure. You can either insert a full candle in the back door or a little birthday cake candle in your penis.
Has he got the little golf tee on it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Because if you don't have that, that could be...
But don't get those ones that fizz, you know.
I've got one that plays a tune and opens. You don't want that either.
No. And don't get the ones that you can't blow out. Anyway.
The sparkler.
The ones that you blow out and it comes back alight again. How do they do? That's witchcraft, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I lit a pink candle, rubbed it with jasmine oil.
Oh. Is she...
No, wait.
Is she growing sage in her... Fanny, like yesterday?
It's parsley. And imagined meeting a handsome red-haired man with fair skin. Just my type.
Yep. Mm.
A few days later, I was scrolling through an internet dating website when I came across Sean's profile. So hang on. She imagined a ginger man and then went looking for one on Tinder. Okay. You're going to find one.
Okay.
Spoiler.
Okay.
He's nice, I thought to myself.
Me too.
We got chatting online and arranged to meet up. At our first date in a Thai restaurant, it was obvious there was a spark between it. Yeah, it was that candle. I had to be honest with him, so I took a deep breath. I've got something to tell you, Sean.
I'm batshit crazy. I do spells and stuff. No, seriously, I am completely loco. Still interested?
I've got something to tell you, Sean, I said. I'm a witch. He looked surprised, but he didn't throw down his chopsticks and rush off. We talked about it, and to my relief, Sean wasn't put off. He was not the spiritual type, although he didn't have any issues with my beliefs, because he fancied me. I think good, if you know,
that's a good one.
The things that men will do to.
Yep.
We had a lot in common.
I'm good. Funny you're a witch because I've got a magic wand that I can make disappear.
Can you make this disappear?
Yeah, I did that joke. I literally just did that joke better, and then you did the same joke.
You spell it out.
You did the same joke, but a little bit worse.
I think I'm subtle, more subtle than you.
No, you're not. You're not, because no, you'd have
you
to
just go. Oh yeah, dick.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't just go. Oh yeah, dick. I went. Not everyone would have known I was talking about a penis.
They did.
No. Mine was a very, very subtle, very cleverly crafted gag.
You are ruining this story. There are people trying to lose weight out there.
She's ruining... Matt, who is ruining the story? Me or Catherine or the woman that wrote it?
Mainly the woman that wrote it.
Thank you. Listen, when I said I've got a magic wand and I can make it disappear, did you know I was talking about a penis?
No, not at all. You were talking about Harry Potter, surely.
Thank you.
Well, God, don't bring him into this scenario.
Definitely was not talking about children when I was doing that. What would you like to say, Matt? Because we're a bit busy.
You dirty old man.
Ian Arnold, what do you mean, dirty old man? I can do both of them better than anybody.
You're very good, actually. Yeah, very good. The second thing was... I've forgotten... And the third thing was, I just want to have a little tiny.
If you've forgotten the second thing, then doesn't the third thing automatically get bumped up and become the second thing?
It becomes the second thing, yeah. So this is now the second thing.
Okay.
It's a little wind, which I'm slightly reluctant.
Do it. But then I will hunt you down and I will kill you.
Yeah, I know you will. I know this is why I was reticent to call in.
But, God.
And yet you still persist.
You were talking about wedding photography.
Oh. Were you the guy that sent the stroppy tweet?
Yeah.
Come on, man. I told you he meant that tweet because I went, does this guy actually mean it? And Kath went, no. And I went, I thought, no, he does. He means it. He's got beef. The photographer's got beef with us. Go on.
It's not so much beef as kind of a more sort of beef-flavoured tofu.
Go on. Option of beef. It's just that after several, many years of slaving away in an office, have kind of devoted myself to trying to become a photographer as my living, and wedding photography being the kind of the predominant part of
great
that.
Great scam.
I get this all the time at weddings, where people come up to me while I'm actually taking pictures and go, "Why are you even here? I've got an iPhone."
Oh, hang on a minute. That is rude. If someone came, you tell me if they do that at my next wedding, and I'm gonna punch them.
Yeah, exactly. It's just rude, and there is this general perception, and it's got to the point now where I've been battling away trying to make this work, and it isn't really getting there for me.
In the last few days,
I've actually seriously considered becoming an Uber driver.
All right. Well, listen, there's a couple of things here we can address. Firstly, genuinely apologies if I offended you and caused you any distress.
No, it wasn't that.
Secondly, don't blame the failure of your business on the success of my career. All right? I'm teasing. You know the act and you know the show, and I genuinely, I apologise. And what can we do to make? What can we do to help then?
Oh, nothing, man. I don't want to plug myself on your show.
I want you to. I insist. You may not get any update, but is it really that bad that it's just not happening?
It's just. I'm getting bookings, but I'm being beaten down on price all the time, so that it's becoming basically I'm doing everything at cost, and I'm not making any.
Have they got to buy you a dinner? Because we had to buy ours and his assistant a dinner.
I get given food at some of the weddings, although even at some weddings, when I'm there for 12 hours,
I'm told
I'm not allowed to eat.
Because those meals cost like 70 quid a head.
Take a packed lunch. I'm not allowed to go into the kitchen and have the slops. You know? Go and sit in your car and eat a sandwich.
Yeah, go.
It's just the way it is, and it's the industry. But it is just frustrating when you hear not you guys, but the people that were calling in and saying,
"Yeah, those are the scumbags."
I got my bin man to take the
and they were rubbish. Don't forget that bit.
Here's the thing, everyone, Matt, except for you, that calls in is a scumbag, and I have nothing but disdain for him. Seriously, we're idiots. You're a skilled artist. Honestly, I do think my wedding photos were a bit of a scam, if I'm completely honest. I've thought they're very disappointing.
A lot of them are. That's the thing. That's another thing, is that there are a lot of people out there that do put themselves about as being photographers when they don't have an eye for it and they don't know what they're doing.
I got better photos off my brother-in-law, but my marriage is over now, so who cares?
Well, there you go.
But that was my genuine experience. That wasn't a comic rant, and then maybe we extrapolated and we exaggerate a little bit for comic effect.
Time you get married, which I'm sure won't be very long, maybe just drop me a line and I'll give you mates rates.
Do you know what? My friend's got an iPhone, so I won't bother. But I have seen your work, because I know you. Was it Manchester you came and saw us?
It was, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen your pictures.
That kind of opened me up into doing some more. I've done some more kind of event stuff since then, or it's really badly paid, but
no one's making money at events anymore.
No, exactly. Yeah,
I have seen your work, Matt, and I know that you are very talented. I know you've got genuinely, this isn't me bullshining. You've got the gift. Go on, I'm going to do it. What is your website?
Oh man, that's really kind of you. I mean, I feel embarrassed.
This is a British thing. Feeling embarrassed trying to sell yourself and get work.
I know exactly. It's just probably why I'm not making any money, because I'm not.
You know, my listeners won't be able to afford, you know, a photographer. But go on. What's your website?
It's MatthewLawsonPhoto.co.uk.
Lawson, LAWSON.
Yeah.
MatthewLawsonPhoto.co.uk.
That is it. Yes, thank you
Matthew
very much.
MatthewLawsonPhoto.co.uk.
That'll have the same effect as the Paul McCartney Vegan Monday.
Shut up, man. This is it. I'm going to do it. Here we go. Hang on a minute. Let me. We're going to do this. We're going to do an ad for you. Hang on. Here we go. Let's. I know what. That's the vibe we want. Here we go. This is it. Here we go. That's too slow.
Oh no, that sounds like pervy photos.
Was it Matthew Lawson?
I'm not proud.
Here we go. If you're getting married to a lady or a man, You're gonna need some photographs taken by someone who can operate a camera, set up a tripod, gather people together, get them standing in a straight line, straight line. You want Matthew Lawson photo.co.uk. Matthew Lawson photo.co.uk. He'll take your wedding photos if you're straight or gay. Matthew Lawson photo.co.uk.
Call today.
There you go, man. Well, don't, you have to get a website. You have to go and look. Hope that helps, man. I want 10% of everything you make, and that's going to be a lot of money because you're going to be a rich guy.
Yeah, I'll send you a check.
All right, Matt. Hey, listen, sorry again, man. Thanks for calling.
Nah, man, that's cool. That's really kind of you. Thanks, man.
Absolute pleasure. Cool. Thank you very much indeed. We're playing for calling up. You got beef. And that's the thing. If you've got beef with something we say,
talk
phone
to us
up.
About it. Don't fester on it.
No, don't. You know, he did send a slightly snidey tweet, but I get it. We slagged off his business that he's, you know, thinking of jacking in because he's not making things. If we say something you don't like, phone up. And we'll either double down and defend our point, or we'll consider what has been said and go, oh, yeah, do you know what? Maybe we did go a bit far. We'll take a break. We'll get the end of this story. Well, then we'll have Matthew Kellner. This is all kind of just working out, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it by magic?
Oh, okay, mate. Thanks very much.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hang on. Can't stop the jazz.
Guys, that's the problem once you start.
Guys, if you want to laugh, Google Paul McCartney gravel. It's a bit of gravel that looks like Paul McCartney and now funny. Really, really funny. So go and Google Paul McCartney gravel. Anyway, right, we've got like a minute because you know Kellner will come in early and start huffing and puffing. Why is the studio not the way I want it? It's my turn to talk up the show. I want the last 10 minutes of this guy's show. So you need to hurry up. I'm gonna get you some music. Hang on a minute. Let's get we gotta get some spiritual music. All right, let's go. Let's do it.
All right, blah blah blah. She gets together with Sean. And then in the spare room, she cast some first magic spell to help her lose weight. Role model. It wasn't about how I looked, how I'd felt on that holiday in Mallorca. It was important to me that I was a good role model to my kids. I was encouraging...
I don't know if magic is actually a good role model to be setting to children, if I'm honest, unless you're Paul Daniels.
I was encouraging my three eldest children, Tove, 8, Vigo, 6...
And Connect, 4.
Zevi, 3... to be sporty, but not exercising myself. What kind of example did that set? I had to take action, and I knew that magic could help.
Or sport.
My first ritual was a simple health spell. Blue represents health, so I took a blue candle and I rubbed it with lavender oil to increase health and calm. And then stuck it very firmly. I lit a candle and an incense stick.
I light a candle to my bum.
I placed a crystal by the burner to focus the energy, and as I did so, I focused my thoughts on being healthy and chanted, I can stick to my goals. I am healthy. I can stick to my goals. I am
healthy. Let's all try that, guys. Let's all try that home now.
I can stick to my goals. I am healthy. I can stick to my goals. I am healthy.
That's not a spell. That's just an affirmation.
Yeah. To finish the ritual, I tied a blue cord around the items to capture my resolve to live a new healthy lifestyle, and then I let the candle in incense burn out.
She shouldn't really be telling people how to do spells in Chatter's Fate. That's irresponsible.
No, exactly. A couple of days went by, then a thought struck me. Why don't I take up running? Right, so hang on a minute. She used magic and Tinder to find someone, and then she used magic and running to lose weight. I'm seeing a pattern here.
This is outrageous behaviour.
So I pulled on my sweatpants, headed down to the local park, and I started jogging. After 40 seconds, I stopped, gasping for breath. This isn't easy, I noticed.
Do a bloody spell to get breath.
But I kept going, collapsing on the sofa half an hour later, completely and utterly exhausted. The next day, I put on my trainers and did it again. Before I knew it, I was running 4 times a week, and that's how I lost 6 stone.
Through exercise. So there's spells.
All that rubbing of candles.
The spell, I want to lose weight. And then 2 days later, I might do some exercise. You're a man that's travelled the world. You've done things.
Traveled
you've
the
seen
world,
things
yeah,
that we can only imagine.
Only imagine.
You ever done spells, magic? You ever been involved in that scene?
No, not at all.
Missing out. So,
yeah, maybe you're probably right there.
Missing
no,
out.
I'm not doing anything like that at all. But I do love magic.
Like card tricks and stuff.
Card tricks, all that. And I'm totally credulous. You know.
I'm a big fan. When I see, we got a friend of mine, Pete Heat comes in, he's a brilliant man. And I've become like a 12-year-old kid again, and I'm just sat there like going, this is incredible. And I have I have no interest in knowing how it's done. A few of the tricks he said, do you want me to show you how it's done? No! I don't want to know. I want to buy into this whole thing that you really can read what my mind and all of that stuff. I love it.
No, it's all nonsense, obviously, but it's great fun.
It's good. My kids got into magic, and they can do a few little tricks now, and it's not... They've got beyond the stage of doing that thing of they go, right, look at this. Right, just close your eyes for a second. They can actually do a couple of little tricks now properly where they don't turn around or ask you to close your eyes, so it's all good.
Can I tell you a joke?
Jokes make me very uncomfortable.
Well, it's not an actual, you know, there was these two guys went
into a club. Okay, go on then.
It's just something from a quote from a movie which I was watching on Netflix, which I quite enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, go.
But there's loads of films on Netflix at the moment where there's just a couple of old people in it. There's a Kosminski Method, which is Michael Douglas and the other guy.
There's one with Chevy Chase.
That's what I was watching.
Was it any good? Because I watched the first 10 minutes and I just thought, well, I don't know if I can be bothered. Is it any good?
It's not bad. It's not brilliant, but there's one or two good lines in it. They're talking... They're in this old people's home, and there's everything's about old people. They're in this old people's home, and one of them's explaining Cialis.
Cialis. It's like posh Viagra.
Yes. Anyway, so he's explaining, and he said, "I'm like that."
Yeah.
And he explains just how hard it makes him.
Yeah.
And these guys like are in their 80s, and he says, "That's brilliant. Do you, do you actually orgasm? Do you come?"
Yeah.
He says, "Do you count dust?" Which just struck me as a brilliant line.
Yeah,
I thought I'd share that with you.
Yeah, thank you very much for lowering the tone of our very high class.
Yeah, well, I wonder, where can I tell that joke where it's, you know, where
not
the tone's
on your show.
Already been... Not on mine.
Now, listen, we are encouraging... Fingers crossed Nigel phones you up. He's a great performer, a very talented performer. I don't know what I'm saying, he doesn't listen. But he might call. But we should make more of this. The phone lines don't stop at 1 o'clock.
No.
You're more than happy to talk to these to the callers.
I'm absolutely happy.
Okay.
Absolutely happy.
Same phone number. Who have you got? Is it Mark you've got with you tonight?
Mark's with me.
So Mark
tonight.
Will answer the phone calls.
He will, and bring you back.
Take your name and number and give you a call back all through the night. You're feeling lonely. You're feeling drunk. You're feeling happy. You're feeling aggressive.
Not too drunk.
If you're feeling very, very drunk, you're high on drugs, I just want to hear it. You can call it after 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
you can start calling now if you want, 03444991000. Anyway, we've got a minute. What is on your show tonight, Mr. Carlson?
Well, interestingly, I'm talking about magic. There's an exhibition on somewhere or other, the London University something or other.
Yes.
And they're going back to the 1549 when it all started. And all these tricks like sawing a woman in half, which if anybody does that, just a warning, not lengthways. But anyway...
found out the hard way.
Yeah. Sawing a woman in half is a really old trick, you know, been passed down generation. They've got they've got stuff from the 1500s.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'm talking to the woman.
Oh, brilliant. Love all that stuff.
But, yeah, I love magic.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of David Copperfield. I like the small stuff, but I like the big stuff. And there's a great, we've only got 10 seconds, but there's a great clip on YouTube of him sawing himself in half.
Wow.
Oh, it's fantastic. Listen, Martin Kellner's on after one. Thank you, Sam, for this week. Thank you, Catherine, as always. We'll be back on Monday night. Yes, we will. But do pick up the phone. You can give us a call. Give Martin a call now. 03444991000. This, dear listener, is Talk Radio.